Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
The Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 257, something like that. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins coming at you here today. We got a couple things in the docket. In the honor of Jerry Stiller, we're going to be reviewing Heavyweights on Disney Plus. We got a little interview with Rob Riggle, co-host of Holy Moly. And then we're going to be doing top five movies you found funny as a kid, which you could still find funny, but we're doing this list to kind of sniff out those two or three movies that you felt were funny as a kid that may not be funny anymore. Mm. Kind of what we're going for here. So yeah, we're going to be talking a lot of big movie news too. A lot of big things in the world of premium cable we'll get to as well. People involved with premium cable, we'll get to that in a minute. But what's going on? What are we watching? Anything new? Anything exciting?
Trill, you started Avatar.
I did. I like it a lot.
Where are you at so far?
I'm only like six episodes in. I'm not too far in. Hold on. I got to adjust my mic distance.
Moves to adjust my mic. Chocolate rain.
I move away from the camera to breathe. from the microphone to breathe. Yeah, it's obviously it's really good. I think the animation quality is exceptional. I'm excited to get through it. I don't know how many episodes are in a season, but it's only like three seasons. So I should.
It's like 20 episodes.
No, I mean, that's a lot of content. We think about like a season now on the streaming platforms, 8 to 10 episodes.
Max, yeah.
Ridiculous. But yeah, I'm excited. I also really like the 4:3 aspect ratio as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like unironically, it feels good. It feels weird, like familiar, like a warm blanket to be watching.
It's comforting.
Square box.
Exactly. It's comforting. That's how I feel when I restarted The Simpsons. I was like, I haven't watched a show that had this aspect ratio in a long time. It just feels like that nice little comforting feeling.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. What's going on? You know, what's going on with you guys? I'm big into Werther's Originals now.
Oh.
That's what you're eating right now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of people love them. I've always thought that was just an old thing. And then apparently Young's like them too. I'm in the minority on Werther's Original, apparently.
No, and I don't think you're in the minority on Werther's Original. I still think Werther's Original is a fringe candy. I think the reason it's popular is because I was in Walgreens the other day with my mask on, being responsible, and I was like, you know, I really just need a good sucking candy to pass the time, just a really good thing to just put in my mouth and let swish around for a while. So I went to the sugar free section and found the Werther's, and I'm a convert, and I got to say, I'm trying to be responsible because it's got like the xylitol or whatever it is that makes you have diarrhea if you have too much of it, that sugar-free sugar substance. So I'm trying to like limit my intake, but I'm enjoying it. It's keeping It's keeping my mouth lubricated.
It keeps you from eating and unnecessary snacking too.
It's also, it always makes you more hangry though. Sugar always just, I feel like, makes you more hungry whenever you have a snack like that.
I don't know. It's good for my anxiety. It just gives me something to do, right?
Fiddle with.
And yeah. I think that's why, like, you know, back in 2016, I fucked around with vaping for a bit. And I don't even know how much I actually enjoyed it, but it was something to do. It was something to idle. I think that's a big reason why people get hooked on vaping. You do it indoors. It's just something to do. And once you're done, once you kick it, it's great, man. It's great, great feeling to not be chained to Big Jewel anymore.
Yeah, you don't have
truth.org commercials anymore. Coming, telling you not to eat Werther's Original.
If you're still on it, I'm not shaming you, but all I'm saying is, like, you know,
you're saying kick that habit and chew Werther's Originals.
I'm just
wait. You know,
get an intermediate step. Go get that. Go get some nicotine lozenges.
Strawberry candy.
Werther's,
right?
Yeah, it's Werther's.
Werther's Originals.
Yeah, but it's not like plural. It's not like Werther's possessive. It's Werther's is the name.
Okay.
Like Smucker's. Smucker's jelly.
Not like Reese's.
Yeah, Reese's is possessive.
Those are his cups.
His cups. Yeah, take his cups, motherfucker.
Yeah. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We have some movie trivia. If you're listening to this on a Thursday, we have in the morning, we have the Dozen Trivia Show, general trivia, movie trivia at night. Kenjack teaming up with RA, Spitting Chicklets, Barstool. That's a great combo of like comic book
squirting trivia all over.
Yeah. And then RA just knows a lot of all other movie things as well. So that'll be fun. And Friday night, go to the Lights, Camera, Barstool YouTube page for a live stream. 5-on-5 fictional basketball team debates number 3. Yeah. Volume 3. We've got four of the 8 teams already filled out. So
I got to do my team tonight.
Start thinking.
Me too.
There's a couple good ones, couple topical ones. This episode brought to you in part by Hawthorne. We love Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Hawthorne wrote
Scarlet Letter.
Yes.
Great book.
And then made this product, Hawthorne. Father's Day is coming up. And it's great to give your dad the personalized products: deodorant, shampoo, body wash, face cleanser, lotion. Don't let him use the generic off-brand soap bar. I won't say brand names. I feel like they don't want me to say that. None of the generic crap that you find in like the bin in the big basket in the front of the store. Like, give him some nice personalized stuff that you think he'd like. It's your father. You don't want your father to stink either. So get some stuff so he smells good. Take a 2-minute quick quiz on Hawthorne. It tells you the two colognes that are best for you, for example, one for work, one for play. Matches up maybe the name brand one you have now, but even better. Totally risk-free, free shipping and returns. Fantastic Father's Day gift. Just in the note, just say, like, I don't think you smell bad. I just think that you could use some of these nice, high-quality luxury cleaning products. Dad, don't use this cologne that you got 15 years ago in your Christmas stocking from the dollar section at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, use the nice stuff.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the dollar section for some stuff.
There is, but Hawthorne's an option.
For scents, yeah. I wouldn't do it, but if, like, yes, you need a sponge,
a paper.
I don't think there's much difference between a dollar sponge and a non-dollar sponge.
But you get the scented sponge stuff like body wash, you need something good. I still use my Hawthorne body wash and Hawthorne's shampoo and conditioner.
I actually ran out. Ran out recently. Not good because the body wash smells great. It's very good body wash. I will say I did the one thing. I did shampoo my hair with conditioner about 3 days in a row at one point with the Hawthorne product. That was tough. So definitely read the labels. Mm-hmm. I do label them. Hawthorne, HAWTHORNE.co, Hawthorne with an E, and use our promo code LIGHTS, LIGHTS, to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co and use code LIGHTS. Don't get your dad, you get your dad the popcorn tin, edible arrangement, stuff like that. No, don't do that. Get him this he'll get that from other people. Get him
Hawthorne. You can't get him a tie from the Scholastic Fair this year because it's closed.
Yeah, you can't.
Losers from quarantine, the Scholastic Fair.
Do people still do the Scholastic Fair memes on the social media? It's like only 90s kids know what this is. And to be fair, that damn Scholastic Fair did look pretty fucking cool when you walked.
It was awesome. It was so cool.
It was cool because it was like in a classroom or a cafeteria gym or what. It was a, a space that sucked.
Large.
That traditionally sucked, but you walked into it and they made this space not suck. They made it retail. The most American thing you can imagine right there in public education.
Our good friend Large actually helped with Scholastic Book Fair in between jobs and told me kind of some fun facts about it and how like insane, like the machine operation they run with those things. He's like, they come, like the whole thing comes in like these four big tall boxes and they just unfurl into this big book fair. And he goes, no matter how much money a parent gives a kid, he'll come up there and then he goes, oh, you got $20 left. And the kid buys like 10 erasers, six pencils. He goes, that money is gone. So if you bring money in the Scholastic book, if the Scholastic sees a kid bring money into a book fair, that kid's leaving with no more money. They will buy everything up there. It's a fucking machine.
I remember I bought my dad a $10 bookmark. I've never seen him read a book in my life. I don't know why I bought it for him, but I was like, damn, this looks pretty cool. It has Moby Dick on it. Never read it. I don't think he ever used it once. Went straight in the trash.
It was probably his money, too.
Exactly. It was his fucking money, and it went straight to not something he'd throw out.
That's the best part about Scholastic Book Fair, buying people gifts with their own money.
Exactly.
All right. We got to talk about something pretty big, HBO related. I've been all over the news. A lot of people talking about the Suit Men making the big decisions. The fans, the rabid fans, the mommies, the daddies, they're going nuts over this. They've been talking about
everyone's
it for a while.
Tweeting about it.
Everyone is tweeting about it. Top of all social media charts. HBO, they're involved. And you know when they're involved, it's big news. And folks, the Suit Men did it. They are going to release the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to release the Snyder Cut next year, 2021. So it kind of confirms two
things. Why 2021? Did you give us a Snyder Cut now?
Wait.
I want the damn cut.
I want my Snyder Cut now because the movie's not finished, which clears up two things. One Snyder Cut will be released one day. True. Two, Snyder Cut done and ready to be released. Untrue. Apparently they're going to put about $20 to $30 million, according to a Hollywood Reporter, into Zack Snyder finishing the movie. He's going to finish the movie. He actually may bring people in to redo some lines, redo some things. I will say this off the top, good for him. Part of the reason why he left, I know there's a lot of rumors, definitely was involving a family tragedy. Whether you want to believe all the other stuff or not, up to you. But he had a vision. He had a thing he loved and cared about, wasn't able to finish it. You know, no matter what you think about Zack Snyder's movies, and I'm on the fence for some, I'm not on the fence for others, he loves his craft, he has a style, he didn't get to realize a dream. And that must suck ass. And it's cool that Warner Brothers is going to allow him to do it, and they're going to release it on HBO Max next year. I'm very excited. Two rumors about it, and I can't decide what I want more. I think I want the latter. It could be a long movie. Remember, the Snyder Cut was supposed to be 3.5 hours, or it could be a six-part miniseries. I want that. That would be cool. I would love to consume it like that. I'm excited to see it one of the levels. Like, I'm fucking sick and tired of hearing about it. And there was some toxicity. Fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, on
a little bit, but I think there's also some genuine people just wanted to see the movie. The actors involved wanted to see their original performances. So people were like, Chuck, laugh out loud, Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon got the bag. I don't think Joss Whedon gives a shit. I'm just also excited because I actually think this could be good. Zack Snyder's ultimate and extended cuts of things are usually better than the regular movie.
Watchmen is way better.
Yeah, the Watchmen one is awesome. Batman vs Superman is better. We didn't really despise Justice League, and I still don't hate it. So I think this could actually end up being good. I'm excited. I just wish it was sooner, Drew. You are right.
For me, it's not whether or not it's good. It's the spectacle of the Snyder Cut. It's the whole thing is kind of ridiculous and yet awesome at the same time, because essentially, you know, movies got released and a bunch of fans saw the movie and realized it wasn't that great. And there was another explanation in their mind for why it wasn't great. And that explanation was that, you know, Zack Snyder didn't get his original vision realized, which may be the truth. So what's going to be interesting for me is if we see the Snyder Cut and it sucks, do those same people who have been defending it all along still carry that cognitive dissonance with them? I don't even know if that's the right word.
No, I think you're going to get a lot of people, and this is not just a DC thing. This happens with any property, and I think Even us, when you first see something, maybe like something more because you're a fan. But I think no matter what, I think you're going to get people who are going to say it's amazing, good or bad, just because that's just – I mean, that's just how it is. And that's not just a DC thing. That's just – that's
Marvel,
fandom.
Star Wars doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's fandom culture. Yeah. It's fandom. I mean, fandom's – you know, look, fandom's fandom. It's good and there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. And I think, like, in terms of toxicity, I feel like the DC fandom is, like, on the lower end of the scale. So I'm glad they're getting
lower numbers.
What's it?
Probably because on the lower numbers.
Yeah. And you know, they're always on the defense, right? Like, yeah. Like, you know, the K-pop fans can, they're on the attack. They're just putting, you know, they
canceled Joji. What the fuck?
They're everywhere, man. They're just on like Facebook comments, posting the pictures of like the isolated, like one twelfth of like one band, like their isolated footage. Like they're all like, and it's cool to see them that like riled up about it. But the DC fans have been defending, and this could be a big win for them. I'm excited to see what this does to the fandom. I don't care that much, but I'm excited to see it.
Even at that wall, like the fucking Night Watch this entire time. And I think that if this were to be released in 2020, I would prefer it as a miniseries only because you could space it out and release it like a TV show. And that gives us something to look forward to week. And for us, me and Jeff, we could break it down, do our whole thing with it. I would prefer it like that. But releasing next year, I think I might just prefer it as a director's cut as a movie. You know, re-release it in theaters, do anything you want, really. I would go watch it.
It's really the perfect thing for streaming because it's a big property without any... Like, I mean, they've already made the major investment, right? And they've already made big money off of it. And what's another $20 to $30 million into it to generate buzz to get people to sign up for the service?
Exactly.
Because it's, I mean, the thing, the end of the day, what they're able to do is basically advertise using Superman and Batman and all these other big name characters for their streaming service, saying that there is new content with Henry Cavill as Superman available. And I think that is a big draw. In terms of signing up for a streaming service. And, oh, yeah, they don't have to invest another $150, $200 million into a whole new movie. So I think it's smart. I think it's smart on their end.
Here's the quote from Snyder. It will be an entirely new thing, especially talking to those who have seen the release movie, a new experience apart from that movie. You probably saw one-fourth of what I did. So, cool. Yeah, also David David
he's like
Ayer.
Frieza, dude. He's like Frieza on Namek. Is that the right planet?
Yeah,
is that what Frieza was on? Where he was like in a little, he's in a little like space shuttle thing.
You haven't even seen my final form.
I think the one he released was in him in the little thing, and he's going to transform into the other like slimier Frieza.
Frieza character. Form 5. Golden Frieza.
David Ayer is also maybe teasing on his Twitter that HBO Max may get the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad.
I'm fine with all these cuts. I just want a diagram.
I'm going to make fun of it.
Steakhouse. I want to specify the cut of what I want.
I want to see that cut as well.
Or a bris.
It's all we have now. Like no movies are being produced of the current. Like all we're going to have are various cuts of various movies we've already watched. So we might as well lean into it at this point.
For me, the Snyder cut is partly about the fact that I actually think I have a hunch it's going to be good. I may be dead wrong on that. The Ayer cut, I think Suicide Squad will stink no matter what. So just give me a fresh movie, but
I think,
yeah,
I don't know. I think
it's all relative though. Right. Yeah. Because I think Justice League, like it'll be better, but like how much, like even if it's a little bit better, right, than the original movie, then it's going to be like, it's a net win for DC. So that's a win for them. I think they walk away happy.
I've like rewatched Batman versus Superman and Justice League. And I don't think I hated them on rewatch as much as I did. I think part of the reason I didn't like them so much was because of all the hype and it was kind of a letdown. So I'm looking forward to it. Just like one, because the whole terminology of Snyder cut's a phenomenon into itself. Now, if anything's labeled Snyder cut, I'm like Last of Us 2 Snyder cut, fucking instant buy. Like just Purell Snyder cut on Amazon. I'm copping that shit. Like it, just label it the Snyder cut. I'm in because it's become such a joke, not like a bad joke, but just like,
yeah, no, it's become a joke in a funny, endearing way.
And yeah, it's like an endearing joke. It's like when my friends make fun of my penis.
Nice balls, Trill. Why do they both hang so low?
You call that the Snyder cut?
Your rabbi must have been drunk, bitch.
let's talk about the Oscars. We're going to do something fun here. Oscars may get delayed. Oscars set for February 28th. It's 9 months away, but what movies are they going to nominate? It'll likely be postponed. I think just cancel it for next year. Right? Cancel it and then do it again the next year and just have a bigger crop of movies. So let's...
I think what you do is you have like a limited selection of awards for 2020, but you announce it at the 2022 ceremony.
Or you could double the pool for the next year.
Maybe at 2021 you release it's called the 2020 Oscar, and it pools everything together. It pools every you do all the nominations, then the ones with the most nominations are up for the Oscar of 2020.
Oh, the singular Oscar. Okay, oh.
It's AI. So like
actor or a movie could win it. A director
doesn't matter.
Yeah, you'd find a way. Well, let's just go through the list here. We're gonna go through the list of movies that were released this year, and we're gonna say you're both gonna say nominated or not nominated. I'll break the tie, and then we'll whittle the list down to 10.
Okay.
So we're nominating onto the short list, right?
Onto the short list, correct.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Here we go. The Grudge.
No, it's not making it on the list.
No. Underwater.
No. No.
Like a Boss with Tiffany Haddish, no. Roseburn. No. So like Inherit the Viper.
No.
No.
The Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson.
No, although
I didn't see that.
Bad Boys for Life.
Yes. I mean, yes. It's one of the better movies released in 2020. Assuming
that's right,
no other
baby. That's right. Okay.
Got to be on there.
Doolittle.
Okay. So specifically, if it's for Best Picture, no. But if you're, you know, you're putting up an award for Best Special Effects.
This is Best Picture. This is Best Picture.
No. Okay, then no.
That's a quick, I knew it would be a quick no. Miss Americana on Netflix.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No,
but the tiger.
Oh, that's the Taylor Swift documentary. I didn't even realize that. Okay,
notice me, Taylor.
The Gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the top 10 movies I've seen
easily.
The Turning, which I believe got a combined score of 5 out of the 3.
Zero. No.
No.
The Last Full Measure with Sebastian Stan and Christopher Plummer.
That movie was a bummer, man. Yeah, I thought it was gonna be better.
Let's see what else. The Night House.
I don't think
I saw that one.
It's a no vote. The Rhythm Section.
So no, yeah.
Rhythm Section, no.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, Gretel and Hansel.
I mean, it's probably the best horror movie to come out this year, so maybe a default yes.
I'm not going to vote.
That's a no for me. I'm not nominating Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah, I remember watching it, but I don't remember how I felt about it.
You remember the basement scene with the big white basement?
Oh, yeah. The tiny basement.
Mm-hmm. Birds of Prey.
No. That movie stunk, man. I can't.
I don't think so.
No,
but if we don't get to 10, then I got to come back and maybe put it in. I need to reserve space for the girl on fire painting.
Which may be tough to count for this year as it is, but we'll see. The Lodge. I'm going to say yes. We haven't talked about The Lodge, but The Lodge is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Did we review it?
No, we did not. But I finally got to see it.
Yeah.
Horse Girl on Netflix.
It's so weird, man. I can't say yes to it.
Okay.
I still don't fucking understand it.
I say no. I liked it, but I'm not gonna. I can't nominate it, fellas.
To all the boys, P.S. I still love you.
No.
No. Sonic the something. Hedgehog.
Yes.
Oh.
I want to say yes because it's funny to imagine Sonic the Hedgehog being in the nominee category. So I'm going to do it for the humor.
It's still like if you think about the movies that are released this year, it's probably a top 10 movie.
I will say yes to push it. Yeah, I'll say yes.
Because it's funny.
Fantasy Island, I'm not even going to ask the question. No. Moving on. The Photograph?
No.
I'm not even remembering anything.
Downhill with Julie Dreyfus and Will Ferrell.
No, that movie stunk, man. Force Majeure, rest in peace.
Oh, The Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford.
Horde, no.
Oh,
I don't know. Wonder Woman. No,
I have my list here.
What's your vote?
No way.
I'm going to vote no, though, because if I didn't put in put in Horse Girl, I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Emma. Did anyone see Emma?
I liked Emma. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I'd say yes, too.
I thought it was delightful.
Let's see what else. The Last Thing He Wanted with Anne Hathaway. I don't really.
That stunk. That was so bad.
Are you talking about that?
Oh. Anne Hathaway's in some shitty movies, dude.
A lot of shitty movies, man.
Like, she's been in some really great movies and obviously has been recognized for it, but like she's also been in some stinkers. She was in a lot of people forget that.
If you were to like aggregate the Rotten Tomato score of all of her movies, it's definitely in like the 20s, because like the great movies she in are so few, and she's in so many bad movies.
And I'm fine with that. I love Anne Hathaway. I think she's a treasure, yeah. And she deserves to be paid. So I'm not going to hate on it, but I'm just like, you know, something like trying to say like who's more selective of their roles. I'm trying to think like Michelle Williams maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Toni Collette.
Anne Hathaway's a volume shooter, and I can't hate on her for that. She
won a vacation to Mauritius, and that's why she went on Dad Boat. That's fun.
Academy Awards host.
Exactly.
I'm still trying to think if we're able to. Portrait of a Lady on Fire cannot be nominated. It sounds like.
Dude, it's the best movie I watched this year.
Yeah.
Change the rules for me, bro.
Yeah.
I got to give it to a Miss Americana.
Brahms the Boy 2.
No.
No.
The Night Clerk.
No. Mm-hmm. I wanted that to be good too, man. Damn.
Impractical Jokers, the movie?
Yes.
I didn't see it, but I don't hate yes. I don't hate the Impractical Jokers.
We will shortlist it.
Okay.
Invisible Man, that's going to get a nomination. Yes. Guns Akimbo.
Guns Akimbo, I didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I think you would both say no. I did have fun watching it, though. Onward.
No.
Mm-mm. I'll say yes.
No.
We nominated Sonic. I have to nominate Onward. It's a better movie than Sonic.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, no, I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you got to nominate. I'm just being salty because I've always had a huge vendetta against Onward.
We are nearing the end of the list. The Way Back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll push it through. Spencer Confidential?
No.
What else here?
Trolls World Tour.
First Cow.
Nope.
Dead
Bloodshot.
Wait, where's what do you call it? Holy Chicken.
I like Bloodshot, but no.
Fuck Holy Chicken. Bloodshot, no. The Hunt?
No.
No, but The Hunt was fucking fun.
Borderline.
I Still Believe.
No.
Is that one of the religious movies?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that the one with Chrissy Metz?
No.
That was the Trapped in the Ice.
That was another one last year.
Oh, yeah.
Stargirl.
No.
The Road's Not Taken. Lost Girls.
I think I saw that one or that one.
Lost Transmissions.
What a Lost and Girls.
Yeah, here. What the fuck?
Kind of weird.
Resistance and Vivarium, two Jesse Eisenberg movies.
Resistance, I didn't see it. Vivarium, I did see. I think it was too weird to put in my top.
It was weird. Yeah. Well, I'll tell him. I tell him I thought it was weird. Next time we talk to him, I respect the art, man. And then finally, Trolls World, Coffee and Cream.
I liked Coffee and Cream. I can't put it in my top 10.
Trolls World Tour.
No, but you know what? I fuck with the trolls heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to nominate them.
Extraction.
Yes.
No.
Oh, shut up, dude. Come on.
That's the top 10 movie this year. I'm not going to nominate it. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I can't nominate it for Best Picture. It was an awesome movie. I can't nominate it for Best Picture. Bad Education?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
I think that's a...
I'm voting no.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, Bad Education definitely has a lot of like HBO movie edges showing on it, but I think ultimately... I just loved Hugh Jackman so much in that one.
Next up would be Scoob.
No, dude, Scoob sucks. What a bummer.
All Day and a Night.
I didn't see that yet.
And then let's see what else here. I think Capone. I watched Capone. I did not like Capone.
Yeah, Capone is.
I didn't watch it yet. I hear it is polarizing. I heard some people might like it.
Yep. Valley Girl.
I don't think you'll like it.
That
I haven't seen that yet.
Haven't seen it yet.
And then okay, we are out of it. I'm gonna throw Extraction in there just for the short list. Because I actually think that may make it 11, and I want the thrill of eliminating a movie. So we have our short list now. Yes, that's 11. Okay, so here we go. Okay, here's the short list. Bad Boys for Life.
I mean, I don't know if Extraction was better than... I think it was better than Bad Boys for Life.
I got to keep Bad Boys for Life.
The Gentleman.
Got to keep that one, too.
Keep that, yeah.
The Lodge. I'm firm on The Lodge.
I think that's fair. I'm not gonna fight that.
I enjoyed Extraction more than Lodge, but I see that. It's fire.
Sonic the we got to take Sonic the Hedgehog off. I'd rather Extraction be on there than Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic's got to be off. It was funny to think about, but there's no...
The humor lasted 8 minutes. So let's see. This is our... We have our 10. We have our 10 nominees, and the nominees are Bad Boys for Life, Bad Education, Emma, Extraction, Practical Joke. No.
Yes. Keep it. Keep it for the graphic.
Joker's the movie.
Keep it for the graphic. It's going to be funny.
Onward, The Gentleman, The Invisible Man, The Lodge, and The Way Back.
I like that grouping, to be honest.
I'm fine with that. I mean, Impractical Jokers is a dark horse, but it might be their year. We're going to see the Joker. Are we going to see the Jokers like Meryl Streep just handling? Like, who would hand the award? Would Bong hand the award? No.
You know what she?
It would be a legacy person.
That's right. It would be Robert Redford just handing the award off to the Impractical Jokers.
He's like a big Impractical Jokers fan too. Yeah. He's like, and the winner is, or Oscar goes to, and he makes a quip like,
you know, when I saw this movie at Sundance, my film festival, the first time.
No, he would say, he would have a little hearty laugh. He'd go, guys, tonight, no one's the big loser. Joker's the movie. And they all run up with their theme song.
You know what you get when you're the big loser? You get what you deserve.
What's the misery index with Jamil and us?
What's the name they yell in the intro?
Huh?
They yell a name in the intro of that show. What's the name?
I don't know. What show?
In the beginning of Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
Oh.
I'm not the biggest Impractical Joker.
Well, no, I'm saying in the beginning of the show, the intro for the show, they yell a name.
The biggest is Q.
Oh, fuck. I gotta... People are yelling. We have Impractical Joker Daddy stands right now saying... Yelling the name. I'm going to fucking look it up. They what's say up name
in,
at the
what's
end.
What's up in practice game? Practice gang. Whatever.
Oh, they yell Larry. He yells Larry.
Larry.
Yeah. Larry Joe.
Yeah, Joe yells that. Yeah.
Who could, man, talk about fictional 5-on-5 debates. Give me the Impractical Jokers over Dude Perfect.
The Impractical Jokers plus Ashton Kutcher from Punk'd. Specifically, not from any other property.
From 2.5 Men, maybe.
That's our 10. My vote goes to Impractical, The Invisible Man, probably.
True. I was doing a crossword today, and one of the questions was, what is a character from 2.5 Men? And I kept typing in Charlie Sheen, because the same number of letters, or not the same number of letters, but it's close to Harper, and I didn't know his character's last name in the show. Really fucked me
up. That's embarrassing, dude.
Messed up my crossword bad.
No. Hope you weren't doing that in front of your girlfriend. She
was the one fucking typing, dude. And she was like, what's the name? And I'm like, I don't know.
I still remember. Remember that time Charlie Sheen like did all that epic shit? It was like Tiger Blood. Everybody loved it. Anyway,
awesome.
Carol Baskin, who knows if she did it or not? Everybody's talking about it still.
Per Variety. More people want to see movies. More people enjoy seeing movies at home. 70% of them are more likely to watch a movie from home than a local theater, even if both were an option at the same time. 13% of those surveys said the opposite. 17% remaining said not sure. I don't know how that's a reply to that question.
I get it. Like,
only 1,000 people surveyed.
That's a big sample size, actually.
Really?
I feel like 1,000 people, you're typically like, that would be a pretty good representation.
That's statistically significant, though? Like, how many different bases could you get from that?
I don't know. I usually say if you have a sample over 333, it's statistically significant just because that sounds good.
It does sound good. It's true.
Yeah. But it's not surprising, right? And no. I think it's movie by movie ultimately. And yeah. I, you know, again, we're big theater guys and we always have been, but certainly stuff like Bloodshot, I feel like has been more pleasant to watch at home rather than having to, for me, I mean, the thing that sucks about like where I'm at in my life, like versus you guys, and I'm trying to shit on you guys, but like going to a movie is a fucking investment for me. Like in my time, and I'm not saying I'm all that busy, but like I gotta carve out a specific amount of time, and then my wife has to watch the kid on like the weekend or something like that, where you know she you know is with the kid most of the week, so then I feel bad about it and all that stuff. So if I'm gonna go see a movie, I want it to be something I'm really excited about, and not that I don't get excited about something like Bloodshot, but like for something like Bloodshot, I can just watch it like 9 o'clock at night when you know mm-hmm. it's on demand. So I think some of that does make sense. Like, yeah, I'm going to miss the movie experience, but like, I also enjoy that convenience. Who doesn't?
It is movie by movie. I'll be very bummed if Tenet were to not go to theaters, for example.
Oh, but that's something right. Where I'll always fight for, like, you know, do what you got to do, restructure your theater business, close down some, like, but God, you miss out so much if you don't see a movie like that in the actual theater itself. On that big screen with the sound system,
yeah,
the way it was intended, like that's one where it's just like you'd be missing out if you remove the theater experience entirely.
Yeah, I don't know how that would hurt, like in production too, right? Because like a lot of movies, like they get greenlit with in mind them going to a theater and making money out of the box office like that, and not necessarily making money off VOD. So I don't know. It really just depends. I don't think it's good though.
No, I mean, I think there's going to be some contraction of like, you know, already like when with the consolidation of the studios, there's always talk about like, you know, Disney owning so much IP, it kind of, you know, overall like reduces maybe the amount of movies that are going to be released on an annual basis. So I don't know like what they send to studios or like what gets contracted or what the theater business looks like after all this is, you know, dust is cleared up, if the dust clears up in the next couple of years or whatever. But, it's one of those things where it's like, you almost like, well, I don't want to see the theaters go away. But at the same time, you're like selfishly, I do like watching some stuff at home.
I don't disagree. I mean, we're big theater supporters. I mean, I'm very excited to get back to the theater eventually, but I would agree with that angle for sure. For sure. Moving on, Disney Plus dumped a lot of news today. Simpsons is getting fixed for sure. The aspect ratio is going to be completely changed and, what everyone wanted it to happen there. Hulu is getting a redesign. It's going to reflect more of what Disney Plus looks like.
Wait, so what is the? So I've watched Simpsons on Disney Plus, and I never picked up on the aspect ratio thing. Were they forcing the 16:9 on the older episodes? Was that it, or was it the reverse?
Yes.
No, it was because like they put up all the screen caps of what they looked like without it, and then some what they looked like with it. Right? Like what was it? I mean, I figured the one clip I saw was of I think the Duff Brewery or something, and like mm-hmm. half the joke was basically cut off.
It was just basically blowing up the picture to 16:9.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I remember there was a big deal. So like back in 2002, where they released the Back to the Future trilogy on DVD for the first time. And you can read about it, but they royally fucked up the aspect ratios on that.
Did they?
People were pissed. Like on the Something Awful forums and stuff. Just like not even movie forums. Just like, you know, movie sub forums of real forums, people were like just mad they fucked up the aspect ratio so hard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, that's my sense, right?
If they did the same thing to Avatar, I would have been pissed off as well.
Well, I mean, who knows, man?
How am I going to look at Sokka in 16:9? Fuck that.
Do you just miss? Have you guys ever been to a bar that had just a big, big CRT TV, like big screen pocket in the corner, like big 55-inch in the corner?
Yep.
That was the weirdest thing. You get a big 800-pound TV, put it up there. It's the best we can do. Now you just got like a 25-pound, 70-inch TV. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Technology.
So much better, to be honest.
Yeah, it's better. It's better.
Significantly better.
Oh, yeah. Dude, CRT, you can see shit. That like watching The Last Dance, the whole game film looks like shit, dude. I don't know how anybody watched sports in the past.
Dude. It's crazy watching even clips of like college basketball in like 2010. It looks like it was like two centuries ago.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no, I shouldn't say game film because they showed the film and that looked great because film always looks great, but the, just like the broadcast footage
looks like poop.
All right, sorry, Jeff.
Hulu doing a redesign, Trill, which is funny. You mentioned that very recently to us. I want Hulu to redesign their page. I'm going to look more like Disney Plus.
I think there's probably a lot of stuff on Hulu, but because they only will show you, they only splash you one thing at once. And to scroll, you got to go one by one. Maybe there's a better way to look at it, but it doesn't immediately present itself. And in order to find really what you want, you have to search for it.
Their library is so confusing. Like, if you want to look up, I remember once I was just like, for like the streaming blogs, for example, I'll like search through like a genre of films. I'll search through like action films and they'll have like literally like 10 options. I'm like, I know you have more, but they limit everything to stuff they want you to watch, which is very frustrating. It's like you said, Joe, you need to directly search for stuff, which like no one's going to fucking do. You need to find a better way, maybe more conducive to, I don't know, us to be able to like search for stuff.
So Hulu is... Is Hulu long for the world? Because there's still kind of a consortium of other networks.
I think so, yeah.
Stuff combining together before they break off on their own things. But
they're like fake cable. I think people like it.
I like it. I mean, I really like being able to go and catch the latest episode of something that aired on TV the day after. I think that's really convenient. I'm not complaining about anything aside from the way it feels to navigate the Hulu app, which is like going into a library and walking up to the librarian saying, I want to find a book, and having the librarian show you one book at a time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's very accurate. I like it too, but mostly because you pay for the viewing, my viewing experience. So
would you like to read Old Man and the Sea? Nope. Next book.
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. I'm not really feeling the sea stuff. Phyllis.
Still not with it. Yeah.
50 Shades Grayer.
Whoa, that was a deep dive. You went right back to the wet stuff, though.
Ooh, I just turned that one in, Phyllis.
We gotta keep getting through these. Simpsons, Hulu, Artemis Fowl has a new look. Yeah. We might be talking to somebody from this movie soon. That's all I'll say on that. And then Boba Fett, Timothy Elephant is gonna apparently don the Boba Fett armor. The multiple Boba Fett armor wears.
Oh, but this is what I think.
I'm Boba Fett.
I think maybe it's a cameo for Oliphant, where he's basically going to be wearing the armor, and then he's Tamora Morrison's voice. That's my guess.
I think that's look, whatever.
Wait. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt you, Trill. Wait. So he would sound like him, but then when he removes the helmet, Timothy.
No. You don't see him remove the helmet. He never removes the helmet. It's just him under the armor. It's like Daniel Craig in Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's just under it. But then they used Tamora Morrison's voice. I don't think it's for the fandom.
Don't you? But I don't think they would announce that. Even Pascal is in The Mandalorian.
Right?
Like,
I think it wasn't announced, right? It was released.
Well, I think it's being teased. It's being teased as a big thing with a big actor, though, right? Like, because even Pedro Pascal is in The Mandalorian for a lot of that show.
What makes more sense? What I just said, or two people being Boba Fett?
Two people. Yeah,
two people. Because it's like Doink armor. And Dink the Clown from WWE, or Sting from WCW when he removes the mask and it's still
Sting. Apparently, it's the Tamora Morrison mask and it's Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah. In comic canon, apparently, I don't know this for sure, or books, the way things are set up, it kind of teases he may be dead, but the armor's like passed around, like the people tried to steal the armor on Tatooine.
So where's Tamora Morrison in all this? They show a flashback of him?
Rex, maybe flashback, maybe they don't. Maybe he's not actually. Maybe he's just Wreck. Maybe he's not Boba Fett. I don't know.
The case, then yes. But otherwise, I think that's where the direction would be.
I feel like Elephant is.
It wasn't a Disney. If it was like we obviously get like the Disney press emails or anything. If they had sent us an email saying, "Hey, Timothy Olyphant, we just announced he's going to be Boba Fett." Like, yeah, sure. Obviously, he's going to be playing like an actual.
Yeah, but I don't think no one's been announced.
It was dug up by THR, so like I feel like it's totally different.
Yeah, but so was Rosario Dawson, though, right? Like, I think these big name leaks are like gonna be like actual like people, like the Sackoff, Rosario Dawson, and Timothy Elephant. But I don't know if the game is real. You might be right though. It'd be wild. That's talk about fandom. Like, I just want to wear the fucking helmet. Like, you won't face.
Or well, not really uncredited, but still.
Or my voice, for that matter. You won't even know it's me.
We didn't know it was Daniel Craig until after the fact, to be fair, although it was his voice.
What else on that? That's it. We don't know enough yet on that. Michael Bay apparently doing a pandemic thriller, and he's already filming it.
Good for, you know, that's what people are going to want to see.
Or he's already going to be filming it.
Maybe they will. Maybe people will be.
He's just filming it at home. He ordered a bunch of fertilizer and gasoline to his house, and he's blowing shit up in his backyard.
Yeah. And there's going to be, some things pandemic related that are going to be like hits. And then there's going to be some stuff where people are going to be like, fucking stop doing this. Like people try to do like, someone was like making this, I read they were trying to do some like dating sitcom or slice of life show that was like Skype based or something like that. I'm like, that get fucking no.
Bay is producing it, and it's apparently going to be in the same vein of like Paranormal Activity in terms of low budget for.
Goddamn! What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that?
What we're going to do is we're going to move on to the next topic.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
That's a good.
I just don't know how willing people are going to be to consume. Well, you know, they might be. I don't know. Who knows?
Space Force had a final trailer. I'm kind of excited for this next week. I also signed up for HBO Max. I'm excited for HBO Max. Check out the new show. Like, I don't know. I'm all in on like the new shows and streaming. Like, I love checking them out. But so yeah, Space Force next week, new trailer.
I'm excited because of what Jimmy O Yang said to us in our interview, because he made it sound really good. But this commercial, I feel like, was worse than the first one in that they didn't use their best material.
I think it could be good. What I feel like is maybe the show's good, but maybe they're just advertising it in a way that appeals to, idiots.
Dumbing it down.
Well, because I mean, regardless of the way you feel about politics, and I think it's pretty easy to know where I sit, but I don't think Space Force is the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Like the show or the actual
concept of a Space Force?
I think the concept would make more sense in like 100 years or something, provided we didn't die of heat death. So like that would make more sense. Maybe. But, and right now, when no one's in space, I don't think necessarily it makes too much sense.
So what I'm trying to get at is like, if they can get over the LOL Space Force thing and just get into the situational comedy as quickly as possible. But that's what we said last time. I'm all down for that. The LOL Space Force thing is what I'm worried about.
That's why, like, if the actual Space Force was never announced and this was just like a random, that was, if this was made like 5 years ago or like 4 years ago, whatever, this would be way funnier than it is now, which is, I think that's the mindset I'm going to try and go into it with, right? Is like pretend like none of the real world shit happened. Just like come into it with a blank slate. And I think hopefully it'll be really funny.
I don't know, man. I'm just, you know, I'm a big alien guy. So I'm always like, I'm always keeping an eye on the sky.
Yeah, just like Fire in the Sky, your favorite movie.
Oh, dude, yeah. Based on true events, I totally believe that guy too. I totally believe the way he was just birthed out of a alien sack and crawled out and got probed.
Oh, so gross.
So wait, hopefully alien technology is like a CAT scan now. They don't have to stick stuff in. They just put you under a scanner.
Mm-hmm. I think in space flight, then why not?
His dick is a Snyder cut.
I just want to play this tape that we found. We have this tape. It was sent to us. It went back in the future, in the past. Let me just play what we got here. We got a special clip for everyone. That's all I'm going to say.
Who's Alice?
Well, for legal reasons, I can't say. But let's pop it on in. New co-host auditions, take one.
Okay, Zaddies. The question of the day is what to do if your man won't go down on your fleshy, stanky cooch. What do you think, Cooley?
First of all, daddies, I think a guy that won't go down on your snatch is sticking by his morals. You think Wilt Chamberlain ever ate so much as a crumb of pussy? Sure not, pal.
Who's that?
The fuck you mean, who's that?
New co-host auditions, take two.
We have a lot of Zaddy Gang people asking us how to make a guy finish somewhere else, like a tissue or in a condom. and maybe something.
Yeah, I wanna cream on, cream on, cream on, cream on your face, baby.
New co-host auditions, take three.
Today, we're going to teach you, like, how to dance at a party because some people don't know how to dance sexy. Isn't that right, John?
That's right, Alice. You know I love dancing.
Yes, Johnny. So, like, this one time in L.A., I was dancing with Tom Cruise.
New co-host auditions. Take four.
Zaddy gang, we're happy to introduce a brand new sponsor for the pod, and it's Silicon. They have a brand new product called The Best Chest, which is a big silicone chest for you to do with what you please.
Yes, 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 the chest is really, really great for me to poop on.
I mean, yeah, if you want.
New co-host auditions, take five.
Hi, I'm Really, and I love to suck and fuck. And I know all the positions. Missionary, doggy style, film reel, reverse film reel. And I want you to know that there's nothing that makes me want to blow, like faking my own death to avoid paying the federal government money. And I'm going to make it squirt. I'm going to make it squirt so hard. I'm going to be over in the corner, true last style. I'm just going to be beating my little reel. Why won't you get hard? God damn, why won't you get fucking hard? Oh, God, this never happens to me. I'm just moving fucking just... I'm going to drive over to the hotel and just go pick up the change in the nightstand and fucking play some Street Fighter 2. I'm just going to be thinking about how I couldn't get hard all night. Oh, I just want to be on this podcast so bad. Oh, fucking film reel, reverse film reel. Just do it all night. Oh, baby. I'm Really.
New co-host auditions, take six.
So I was in the situation yesterday and...
Situation.
Yeah, so I was taking a nude of my cooch.
Wait a sec, hold on, Alex. By cooch, do you mean vagina?
Yes, exactly. You get it, Jimmy. So I was taking a picture of my ass.
Ass? Oh! Oh! Oh my God! I don't believe
let's talk to Rob Riggle. Holy moly, is coming back for a second season. We chatted with him about it. Rob Riggle, welcome back. First of all, I'm going to start off. I know we're here to talk about Holy Moly and other things, but the last time we saw you, your favorite team was not the Super Bowl champions. Now they are. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I've been collecting congratulations since February 2nd. I'll continue to soak them up like a biscuit on gravy for the remainder of the year. So I love it.
It's a nice feeling, I assume. It's a nice feeling.
I waited my whole life for it. Yes, it's 50 years in the making. So it was pretty special.
We interviewed you in the Pardon My Take studio. I remember you were saying you were talking about like you had pregame duties. And you're like, I got to get through that. And like, I'll be nervous, all that. And that was a stressful ass game too. Like, going back before that interview, imagine me telling you like, by the way, you're going to feel awful until the final, 5 minutes? It's going to be a miserable experience until then.
Yeah. I remember, I'm pretty optimistic guy and my son was with me. And so I'm trying to set the example, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not being a defeatist and I'm trying not to cuss, but that's not always a guarantee. But at one point when Mahomes threw that interception at the there, I did late in the game. I looked at my son. And I said, well, now I'm a little nervous. Now it's going to be really tough. And that was the only moment I kind of despaired. Other than that, I truly believed that we were still in the game until the very end, only because I had been at the divisional game when we were 24 points down and we came back and I saw us come back from double-digit deficits throughout the postseason. So I always believed that we would always make a run on them, how, you know, how much we had to overcome is debatable, but that was the only moment I despaired at. Other than that, I was pretty confident.
Well, as Chargers and Browns fans, we cannot relate, but we do congratulate you. And so you hopefully have many more months of congratulations too. So it's
well, thank you. And your time is coming. Trust me. I see it. I know you don't see it because you're cloaked in that heavy blanket of despair. But I think the Browns and the Chargers, and believe me, I'm an AFC West guy. I don't want the Chargers to do well because that means the Chiefs won't do well. But I do think that the future is bright for you guys.
Well, it's good.
I almost like having the Chiefs win the Super Bowl because now it puts less pressure on us this year, because it's like, well, you have the Super Bowl winner in your division, so it's less the expectations are now way lowered.
Well, and the Chargers are opening a bigger stadium to pack more Chiefs fans too whenever they visit Los Angeles. So that's that's true. Yeah. That's good. Holy moly is back though. Sports.
Yes. Tomorrow night. It's going to be good. If you want some competition back in your life, this is it, baby.
This is dropping on technically late. I always say I'll drop it early. I won't drop it till like midnight tonight. So technically tonight, if you're listening to this the day the podcast comes out, May 21st, 9/8 Central. When did you guys film this latest season?
Right before the S hit the fan.
Really?
We wrapped right there at the end of February, beginning of March, and basically everything went into lockdown like March 14th, 15th, something like that. So we got in just under the radar as far as getting this thing done. Thank God, because once they shut everything down, everything was done. So I was really happy we got it done, and the season's great. Joe Testator and I have a blast. The contestants are fun, and the holes are bigger and badder than they ever were before. So it's going to be an exciting, fun season.
I've seen some pictures, one with like a couple porta potties lining the way. It seems real, real. It's crazy though, because you were doing a sports parody show basically, and little did you know there would be no sports when this show aired.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, we had no idea. You know, they were saying, oh, yeah, they're talking about like closing stuff. You know, this is back in the beginning of March. They're saying they might actually close stuff down. I'm like, what are they going to close down? That's stupid. What are you talking about? And they're not going to close down production. You know, I mean, that's crazy talk. 2 months later, here we are, you know, having done nothing, having everything shut down. No work, no sports, no movies. No, it's just this thing needs to end. And I'm glad to see there is a slow return to normal. But we had to do what we had to do. You know, we got to stay safe and keep people healthy. So
it's what it is. You have NASCAR, cornhole, e-gaming, and holy moly. So that's the big four sports right now. It's
good. Yeah. People want to see competition. They want to see competition, and holy moly, you know, you got your miniature golf, you got your mixed with a little bit of Wipeout, and you're going to see people get sent. There's no way. There's no two ways about it. So it's a good show. It's fun.
How have you fared on the course? Have you done it yourself? I mean, I assume you've done it yourself, though I guess there's an outside chance you haven't had a shot to play.
No, I've gone out on the course and played a few holes.
But do you turn on all the obstacles? Are you like out there like, all right, let's stop the windmills. I don't want to get launched into the water. I'm not going to go on the zip line. Are you just like doing the really basic? Are you trying to go all out?
No. I'm a puss. I totally did the basic stuff. I'm not getting launched. Mainly because of the wardrobe. I can't get the yellow jacket soaking wet. So I blame it on wardrobe for sure.
What's been your favorite moment so far through filming two seasons? Because, you know, obviously there's a ton of celebrities on. There's a bunch of hilarious wipeouts like you were mentioning. What's been your overall favorite moment?
Oh, honestly, Joe Testator and I, who are in the booth calling it, I don't do any prep work before the show. Joe does a little bit because he needs to, you know, do the play-by-play. And he's a professional, whereas I'm not so much. But I'm reacting to what I see, and I can't react until I see something to react to. So, you know, it's just I'm in there kind of improvising and reacting. And we just have fun. It's like hanging out with a buddy watching a TV show and doing Mystery Science 3000, where you just you kind of heckle and laugh and point out the obvious, the weird, the hysterical. And you try to have a good time, and it's a great hang. Joe's a blast. I just enjoy the overall moment of we go into the booth, we sit down, we start the night's work, and we just start laughing and having fun. And there's not many jobs out there where you get to do that. I think you guys have that kind of job, but you know, there's not many jobs in entertainment where you get to do that.
You ever just like stop and ask, like you mentioned, you're your co-host with Tess. You ever just stop and be like, Tess, what is going on in Booger's brain? Please tell me.
I never asked that. I didn't think to ask that, but I have no idea. I don't think anybody does.
What did you like? What was the thought process going into this? Because we talked a lot about improv with you last time you were on. We talked about Step Brothers, talked about all those movies. You obviously, that's like your background, comedy, all that. Tess, I grew up, so I was born and raised initially the first half of my life in Connecticut. I grew up with Tess when Joe Tester was a sports guy in Connecticut. So like Tess is a sports guy.
Yes.
He's definitely not an improv guy. And there's moments where you're going back and forth and where he does break, where he cannot be serious. was there like a meeting beforehand where they're like, all right, we got to pretend like dead Joe react deadpan to anything Rob said? Or was there a point where you're just like, it's not going to happen. No matter what happens, someone's going to start laughing at some point or another during this whole thing.
Yeah, no, we don't. Joe is a, like you said, he is the consummate professional sports announcer. I mean, he's got the smooth voice and he's silver tongued and his awareness of play by play. He's a professional. He's one of the best. But no, there's no planning. There really is no planning. We come in, we shake hands. How's it going? How's the fam? Everything good? Yeah. Okay. Great. We sit down and all right, we dive in. And you know, if I get him to laugh, I consider it a big deal because he's such a pro that he doesn't break. Like he's, you know, this is how we do it and we're going to be moving on in this contender. And he's a fun guy. Don't get me wrong. But when I get him to smile or laugh or to be easy or light, I consider it a big victory.
Sure. I know you mentioned Wipeout, but did you ever watch one of our favorite shows of all time is Most Extreme Elimination Challenge that used to be on Spike TV. Did you ever watch MXC?
No, I don't think I did. I mean, say the name of it again. I saw Wipeout. Is that what you said?
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. It was years ago. It was on, it's like Spike TV. It's a fascinating show. I think Wipeout was based on Spike.
I did watch Spike. I liked Spike when it was around.
Slam Ball was on Spike. Show. Yeah, it is. Slam Ball, yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
World's Deadliest Warrior, all those things. 1,000 Ways to Die or whatever.
Well, the whole thing about Spike was it was like the all-man channel.
TV. Which,
yeah, and every time they talked about it, it sounded like one of those tractor pulls. Get down to Kemper Arena for the Spike TV.
It was, I think, TNN before it was Spike TV. But yeah. I recently did a blog on something. It was either MXC or Slam Ball. And I thought it was called, like, the Man Channel at one point. And it was not. I think, like, I in my head, I was like, I thought it was the Man Channel. It was never the Man Channel.
No, but I mean, they should have tried it. And they might as well. They promoted it that way.
Exactly, yeah.
So, holy moly, back on ABC. If you're listening to this after May 21st, it's already aired. But if you're listening to the day we drop this pod, it's airing tonight. Are you a golfer outside of mini golf?
Yes.
You
are. Yes, okay, I am. So, I love golf.
So give me the dream foursome, you being one of the four. Doesn't have to be golfers.
Somebody asked me this one time, and I went sentimental. I went, you know, my best friend, my dad, and my son, and me. Uh-huh, okay. Now, like golf, like for there's so many scenarios. I mean, I could go, you know, Swedish bikini team. I could go actual golfers, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and Phil. You know, I could go down. It all depends. I could go. There's the football theme. Where I'd want Joe Namath, because you got to think about who's fun on the course, right?
True.
And Peyton Manning, and so it depends on the genre. But I guess overall, you know, you got to go big. You got to go Jesus Christ, Gandhi. You know, you got to go with some of the historical bigwigs, George Washington. I don't know.
George shows up with his fucking old ass wooden clubs too. He's like,
yeah, but I could rag him all day. I go, no, your clubs look like your teeth, George.
he's like, he stripes one like 60 yards down the middle. He's like, yeah, beat that, Wriggle. And you just come up there, you're tailor made. You go on like 300. Yeah, it'd be quite entertaining.
I'd make a lot of money off Washington, man. Like, yeah, easy really money. Could.
You watch this. I'm going to make this ball spin backwards. You're like, never.
All right. So how about a dream quarantine threesome? And it's not what it sounds like, but it's you're stuck in quarantine. and it's you and two other actors or actresses you've worked with before, and you're stuck with them throughout all of quarantine, who would you pick?
Throughout the entire quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh man, I gotta have people make me laugh. Will Ferrell.
It's an easy one.
Eliza Coop. She's funny.
Oh, there's a surprise pick. Okay, yeah.
She's a very, very funny lady. We've done things before. She came and did like a couple of Riggles picks.
Ski Master Academy together. She's funny. She's very funny. Who else? And my best friend, Jeff. He's a funny guy. He makes me laugh.
People named Jeff are very funny.
That would be it.
Yeah. I'm like a big fan of people named Jeff. Yeah. let's dive into some audience questions. So last time we talked about all your movies last time. We're not going to run it back on that. We've done that already. So we decided we'd dip into our audience, and they're going to give us some questions to throw at you. You ready?
Sure.
All right, first one, we'll start basic. You're a comedic actor, very popular TV show, The Mandalorian. I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan at all.
Yes.
Okay. Who would you have a character, a species, or something that you would want to ever do in The Mandalorian? Because they have so many comedic actors in The Mandalorian making cameos.
Okay, so I've seen all the Star Wars movies on many occasions, and I've seen even Rogue One. Mandalorian, I'm behind on. I have to confess, because I'm not going to sit here and BS you guys. That's beneath everybody. So I'll just confess and own the fact that I haven't seen it yet. However, I'm old school. I do like Boba Fett as opposed to whatever the new kid is, Jango Fett or whatever his name is.
Correct. Apparently, Boba Fett is going to be in the new season of Mandalorian. So that's what they're saying. So
I'm OG. I go Boba Fett. What?
The comedic Boba Fett. Next question from Movie Blob. Which movie do you prefer, Equalizer 1 or Equalizer 2?
We know you have an answer.
Do you know what happens in the Equalizer 1 and 2?
These are deep tracks. These are deep tracks you're asking about. Because wasn't Equalizer 1 in that Denzel?
Yes, yep. And he or was that the concept two. Is he equalizes a lot in both movies. There's a fair amount of equalizing. Yeah.
It's like Young Guns. Let's regulate. Let's equalize.
Exactly, yes.
At T. Lodrestrand says, have you ever actually met Kobayashi since the reference in the movie?
No, but I would love to meet the man because he could devour a hot dog. Everybody knows that. Good Lord.
Would you go through the scene with him? Would you try to get the explainer? Would you just be like, hey, big fan, and just kind of move on and be like, I'm not worth my time?
No, I would definitely take a picture and go, ah, ha, ha. I'd try to get a picture of that with him. And I would blow it up, and I would put it in a place of prominence in my house somewhere.
At Aussie Squirter says, if you were one item on the Outback Steakhouse menu, what would you be?
The wings. The wings.
Kookaburra wings. The Kookaburra wings.
The Kookaburra wings. I devour those suckers by the bucket, and the ranch is so good. God damn. I mean, honestly, I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's the right and podcast,
my
friend.
I like their salads. I like their baked potato soup. I like their salads. I mean, don't get me started. I could eat there every day. I'm not even kidding.
This is the biggest Outback podcast in the world. The first time we ever did audience questions, we had like a returnee guest. It was Jesse Eisenberg. And we were asked, what's your favorite restaurant bread? Also, we could tee him up to talk about Outback Steakhouse bread. So this has just become a theme now. Yeah.
They don't do anything wrong there. You're getting me all worked up about it because since it's quarantine, I haven't had any. I have to drive all the way out to like my Six Flags. Way up north, way. I have to drive like an hour to get to one. It's ridiculous.
Here's a horror quarantine story. This is not, this is an asterisk, so nobody tries to cancel this podcast. This is not a real complaint. This is a joke. But this is a horror quarantine story for me. Somebody sent me, because I helped them, a $100 Outback Steakhouse gift card, and the only one in Manhattan is not open. They closed for quarantine. So it's just sitting there in my email, and it's unused.
That's like keys to a Ferrari.
With no engine.
No car. Yeah.
That's just a pain in the ass. All right. Our next question comes from Gobulator. His question is, what are your thoughts on Oregon? Not the team, just the state in general.
Okay. So my apologies to Oregon, but I have been to 48 out of the 50 states. Oregon is one of the states I haven't been to. And I was supposed to, I was scheduled to do stand up there in Portland at the Helium Comedy Club there back when I was doing stand up many, many years ago. And I got a movie or something to set, so I ended up canceling that. So I never got there. I mean, I can't come because I've never been there. And then the other state is San Diego, or no, South Dakota. I don't know why.
San Diego. Very similar places.
Like, wow, San Diego.
Very similar. You're right. Very everything, the topography, everything.
All right. So your next question comes from Frankie DeBeans. He says, do you know what the title of Step Brothers was in its Russian release?
Oh, God, no. No, I don't. I haven't been over there. What was it? Does he tell you, or is it just a question?
He left an asterisk. He said he doesn't know either. He just thought you might know.
Stepas Broski? I don't know.
Bussy Whisperer says, what's the best number?
Oh, God. What's the best number? Isn't it 7? It's got to be 7, right?
He left an asterisk and said, make sure it's not your favorite number. Make sure it's the best number.
Yeah, favorite versus best.
Yeah. My favorite number is totally different. My favorite number is totally different. I don't share that. I'll never share that because that's mine. I'm just saying the best number is probably, it's gotta be 7. It's written, it's been in literature. It's written about, Revelations even at 7 seals, like it's 7, it's gotta be craps coming out 7, lucky 7. Yeah. 7.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. The come out, you do win in craps with 7. All right. Last one's from @Ralph. Just wants to know what your favorite flavor of Italian ice is.
Oof. I mean, I'm a chocolate type of guy. I've read too much about it and studied too much about my Italian ice not to be a chocolate. So I'm going to stay with that.
I'm sorry to anyone from the Philadelphia area who they call it water ice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, water ice.
Yeah. All right. We're going to put you on the spot now. We're going to give you a little quiz on some things that you've been in.
Oh, boy.
Oh, if you're ready for this one.
No one ever does poor at these, by the way. Everyone always crushes these.
We always write these and we're like, they're so hard. Someone's going to mess up. Never once has one even gotten a single question wrong. It's crazy. All right.
Now you just set me up for the biggest fail of all time.
Exactly. All right. So your first question, who directed The Lorax?
Now you're going to cost me gigs.
Yes.
No,
it's a voice role. We knew it'd be hard.
Dang it. Hold on.
We can give you a hint.
No. Don't give me a hint. But I do want to come back to that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Who are the three main comedians in the show Human Giant?
Paul Scheer. Mm-hmm. Paul Scheer, Rob Hubel, and Aziz Ansari.
Easy.
That's right.
Easy.
All right. What was your character's full name in The Goods? Live Hard, Sell Hard.
Oh, my God. This is the worst.
All right, I'll give you a hint. Think of an actor that's very famous for his big mustache.
Oh, Selleck Motors. Mm-hmm. Selleck Motors. I do remember Selleck Motors. I don't remember my name, though.
How funny is that?
Peter Selleck. Well, there you go.
You remember the important part, though, I believe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And Furry Vengeance, what was Brendan Fraser's character's occupation?
Real estate.
Yes.
Okay. Thank God. Yes. I got one.
What is the name of the Simpsons episode that you guest starred in?
The name of the episode? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. Name of the episode.
This is the hardest one.
This
classifies as a hard question.
Because all I can name on that one is my, I think I was Dr. Pool Toy.
Yes.
In I can remember that. I don't remember the name.
You know what? That qualifies as a yes.
Yes, I'll count that because that was even a hard name. But the episode was A Father's Watch because it's all about Bart losing his watch or something.
This is a spot one. If you miss this one, you're in trouble. Where did Steph Curry play collegiate basketball?
Steph Curry played collegiate basketball at Davidson.
Davidson, yes.
That's right.
Yep. Do you want to head back to the Lorax?
That was close. I could have lost my job on that one, boys.
All right, as we wrap up here, let's go back to Holy Moly. That was not a bad performance. You're underselling yourself.
We gave you the hardest quiz because, again, every actor we've reviewed or interviewed before you, we've given the quiz, and it's been too easy. They've gotten everything like immediately, and we're like, all right, we got to bump it up a notch for Riggle so that we look like we're not being too easy on the actors. Or they're doing basically like Celebrity Jeopardy to these people.
It was good stuff. It was good.
Um, holy moly, give us the elevator pitch, give us the sales pitch for anyone who maybe hasn't even watched the show yet. We've watched the show. We watched the first season, excited to have it come back. But say someone, they didn't get into the first season. They want to watch something that's a competition, golf, you, Tess, Steph Curry, et cetera. List goes on and on. Why should they watch the new season?
All right, elevator pitch. Here goes. It's miniature golf meets Wipeout, and it is fun for the whole family. Everybody from a 6-year-old to a 65-year-old can enjoy this show. Men, women, it's funny. It's hilarious. It's great competition, and the sets are massive and huge. It's really a spectacle to see. You have a lot of professionals. Steph Curry, as you mentioned, is the executive producer. He's a golf fanatic. He weighs in on a lot of stuff. Joe Tessitore, one of the great sports announcers, myself, play-by-play. People loved it last year, and this year it's coming back, and it's coming back bigger and badder.
Amazing. Fantastic.
That was beautiful.
Excited to watch it. It's back.
There it is.
During quarantine, no sports, but there is some sports now. Watch some just flat-out funny mini golf. Watch people get just absolutely – just destroyed by props and water and pits of water. It's just watching people get hurt and get pushed into things is just very funny. I hate saying it, but it's the truth.
Well, the good thing is nobody got hurt, but they did get knocked down. So that's why it's enjoyable.
Yeah, there you go. one more thing before you go. Was there ever a point during the filming first two seasons where you saw someone fall down and you're like, that person might be really hurt?
One person this year got knocked in courage, and somebody needs to check on him. So, yeah, it happens.
Thank you, Rob Riggle. It airs Thursday, May 21st, 9/8 Just Central. Holy moly, two. Second time around, it's back. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, big thanks to Rob Riggle. Feel free to invite us out to the mini golf course. I'd like to try it out.
It looks,
they added a bunch of holes.
I want to go on it. I would go on it. They invited me on. I would go on it.
It's a pun on the – it's a play on words on the phrase holy moly. I don't know if you knew that, Trill.
Who's the first person who said holy moly?
Some Swiss guy? I don't know. No clue.
I mean, what a dumb thing to say. Holy moly.
Holy moly.
That's like when – what's his name?
Oh, jeez.
Who's the guy that plays Logan Roy? What's the actor's name?
Brian Cox?
No, not Logan Roy. The younger Roy. Sorry.
Kendall?
Kendall, yeah. Jeremy Strong?
Yeah.
So when Jeremy Strong in oh my God, now I blinked on another one. The Mark Wahlberg fucking sick movie. The Mark Wahlberg, everyone's sick from the plants movie.
Oh, The Happening?
The Happening. When he goes, oh, cheese and crackers.
Holy moly. Look at the size of those.
Holy moly. Look at the size of those big naturals, Logan.
Just really big, Kendall.
Look at the size of those shrubs.
The size of those big naturals. God, I need that show to come back. That show has to come back.
Rock formations. That show is not going to be back to like 2023, my friend.
No, that's the worst one for me. That just that sets me so much. All right, let's talk about heavyweights. A lot of people wanted us to actually talk about heavyweights for a while. Rest in peace, Jerry Stiller. Recently passed away in the beginning of this movie, a couple times. Close to a cameo. I consider it a cameo. It's two very quick bits. Heavyweights came out all the way back in 1995. Stars, a couple people you may recognize. I think Paul Feig and Kenan Thompson. They're up there. Jeffrey Tambor, Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller being the big star, though. But Tim Blake Nelson, right? I don't know if we talked about this movie. I forget. Judd Apatow makes a very brief cameo in this movie. Peter Berg also makes an uncredited cameo. A lot of random people in this movie.
I think it comes out of the whole. So Judd Apatow was, so the Ben Stiller Show, right? Remember that project? That was done 1992 to 1993, and Judd Apatow was executive producer and writer on the Ben Stiller Show. So I think a lot of these folks come from that lineage of the Ben Stiller Show. Well, at least Judd Apatow and Ben Stiller, that relationship.
Yeah.
Easy. Also stars not Alicia Silverstone as the nurse.
Yep. That's a good way of putting it.
I was like, oh my god, Alicia Silverstone's this movie. I was like, it's not Alicia Silverstone. Very much not. Leah Lale.
This movie solidified for me that 1995 was the best year in human history.
Well, let me talk about something off the top. There was a shot in the beginning of this movie that's one of the greatest shots I've ever seen. And I need to tweet out a screenshot of it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Enlighten us.
Was it when he's walking home?
No, it's after he lands, he gets on the bus.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I need to see it. Show me, Daddy.
There is a shot in this movie after he gets on, after he lands where he's going to go. He gets on the bus to go to camp, and they're yelling at the teacher to pull over because in the shot, Taco Bell, Bojangles, McDonald's. I think there's a Burger King there too. It is just
old logos.
An incredible old logos, great restaurants. Oh, Checkers. Checkers, McDonald's, Bojangles, Taco Bell, and I think Burger King. Burger King.
I love that old Taco Bell logo, like the non-italic one or whatever.
Oh my god! It just that's a perfect cinematography shot right there. Here's a synopsis of it, if you've never seen it. Jerry, played by Aaron Schwartz. By the way, Jerry is just Jerry with a G is the least kid name of all time.
Yes.
It's just like Jerry with a G goes to school with the wheelie backpack.
Can I also just say these kids aren't that fat?
No. A couple of them are just not fat at all.
Yeah.
Not even close.
So, I mean, look, I'm sorry calling kids fat is bad, but you know, these guys are my age now, so it's fair game.
Yeah, exactly. Is not looking forward to his summer vacation since he'll be spending it at a camp for overweight boys in order to shed pounds. Fortunately, a kindly couple, the Bushkins, run the camp and make the process fun and relaxed.
The Merkin family.
However, they're soon forced to declare bankruptcy and sell the camp to Tony Perkis, a fitness fanatic who turns the camp into a living nightmare of over-the-top training, but the kids plan to fight back.
Essentially, people have come to the realization that this is basically White Goodman, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the big questions we have about this movie.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
It's first, though, yeah.
Yeah. Trill, I'll start with you. And give some perspective, because you were a little older than us. I was 4 when this movie came out, so I didn't see it till a little afterwards.
I said 1995 is the best year ever, because this is like – this was, I think everybody has like when they're 11, 12, it's that like prepubescent nostalgia period where they're still a kid, but they're old enough to, have more complex feelings and emotions that aren't like the feelings and emotions that begin to dominate and ruin your life during your teenage years. And I loved this movie when it came out, and I still love this movie, and I was shocked and appalled when I went in Rotten Tomatoes to find out it had like a 29% approval rating. I was horrified, because when I'm watching this, maybe there are parts that didn't age well. Like maybe talking about fat kids is something that is not great to do these days, but this could have been a lot more mean-spirited. I think for the time when it came out, it was really well done. Had a lot of heart, and I think they portrayed being overweight, which, by the way, I was an overweight kid too. I was like 5'2", 200 something pounds. So like it like hit me when I watched it. Like I had a lot of feelings, because I felt like I was these kids, except I was a little bit younger, and it didn't feel mean spirited to me being a fat kid when I watched it. And I don't know if anybody perceived it as that way, but I was shocked to find out it wasn't that well received by critics. And to that I say, I'm going to break with the critics. I think it's about a 65. I think it's a very solid kid movie. I really enjoy it. It has a lot of heart. I think it's pretty funny. It has a lot of some funny kid jokes in it. I think you got some like good, like, you know, the foundation of a kid movie is like a good adult character you hate, a good authority figure that you hate. And I think Ben Stiller plays that really well in this movie. So all the parts are there, and I enjoyed it as a kid, and it was a huge nostalgia trip watching it today. It's great. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So 65 from you, Ken Jack. What about you?
I think I would give it around a 55. And I watched it probably the first time, some point around the early 2000s. And I'm with you, Trill, in that the first time I watched this, I, for some reason, remember being way more mean-spirited towards fat people. And that was my one main fear going back into watching this. I'm like, I was thought like, well, I was going to make some really mean jokes, blah, 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 stuff that wouldn't fly today. And like, it really didn't. It was pretty fucking nice overall. And I think it had a positive message in just in general, which was something that I really didn't expect going into it on a rewatch, and that was pleasant. I think all the acting performances were good, even from the kids. Kids are super fucking charismatic, which is kind of rare from child actors. And
they're,
I think,
three-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in a lot of you know, when a lot of fat kids, and they, again, I can say this as a former fat kid, when they on the screen, they're like Augustus Gloop, right? They're
yeah,
just, they want to eat and they don't have feelings and stuff. And these kids have feelings. They knew they were. I don't know. Yeah.
All they want to do is eat and do nothing. And like, I feel like you're right, Troll, in that they were way more three dimensional. I think the adult characters were all good. It's like you said, one dimensional villain and Perkis, and where you just love to hate someone like that authority figure. Lars too, same thing. It's just like a great one dimensional henchman. Like you miss shit like that. And same with I don't remember who is the guy on their side, the adult on their side. I don't remember his name. Pete. I don't know, something like that.
It was
Tony.
No, I think it was Pete, wasn't it? Maybe it was with a J. Was it with the Pat? It was Pat.
Pat. So yeah. Same thing with Pat. Really, we're like you really empathize with him, and even fake Alicia Silverstone. And I completely fucking forgot that Paul Feig was in this movie 100% until I saw him, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? Is that Paul Feig without white hair? And that threw me for a total loop. But I think it was really pleasant on the rewatch because I really expected it to be much, much worse than I expected. But I think it was right about where I thought it was going to be, if not better. So that's a net win.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm a little lower than Trill. I'll give it a 61. I think this is one of those movies that you grade it for what the intended audience is as well, and you grade it for what it is and what it's supposed to be. I think some of the humor definitely. Not that it's like offensive, it doesn't totally land for me. Even now, and I was kind of looking back, like, I don't know if I would have really laughed at that as a kid because I don't really remember what I thought about when I first saw it. But I think it has a nice little message. It's got a great character from Ben Stiller. I think it's one of Ben Stiller's better characters, no matter what you think about the movie. Like, it's a funny character from Ben Stiller. Just even him just like strutting on camera with the camera guy trying to make the infomercial. And he's like, I'm not even rolling, Tony. Like, shit like that. Like, it's a really good Ben Stiller role, and it kind of makes you laugh the more you think about it if you like Dodgeball too, because it is a character so similar to White Goodman. So yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie by any means, but it's a hell of a lot better than the fucking 30s and below that it got from critics. I think it's fun. Audience gave it an 85, though, very high in the nostalgia there.
Yeah, and look, If you were to really rate it on a curve, I think 85 would be fine. I think where the movie comes up short is I don't know, like the main character doesn't really have, you know, it's just not like, you're not really rooting for him.
I'm going to say this too, the main character actor, probably the worst actor in the movie.
Yeah, like I find myself like more so interested in like Kenan Thompson, and you know, I don't know if part of that's because I know Kenan Thompson, right? Because I've grown up with, it's wild to think about, but I've grown up with Kenan Thompson. It's pretty crazy. And both of these guys have just walked away from the microphone.
Not here. I'm opening the podcast by myself. My dog. I'm pretty sure.
No, it's fine.
And pee.
You don't cut it. The dog just pooped everywhere. So I think some of it, like, look, if I were to say, like, what's the gold standard for like a movie like this, like a kid's comedy, I think it would be The Sandlot, right? Where,
yeah,
you know, the main character, you really got to want to root for the main character. Not that I didn't like the you know, Jerry, Gary, or whatever his name is with the G. but the character in The Sandlot was like so much more, the main character was so much more like likable and relatable, and everybody can kind of understand, like, you know, maybe being in that position. And also you had like Benny the Jet and stuff like that. So I think like if this movie suffered from anything, I thought they did a good job of like making the characters three dimensional. But at the same time, it's like, I think you also like got like the tertiary characters who are maybe like a little more like likable and charismatic than the main one. But it's a fucking kids movie. So how deep do you really want to go?
The Sandlot's a good point you bring up, yeah, though, because The Sandlot, I'm not like a big Sandlot. You know, like the people who are Sandlot fans, like that, they fucking ride with that. It's like best sports movie of all time. It's like fair, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm not like a like I'm not a Sandlot. Like I wouldn't hang a Sandlot poster in here. Like I don't really, like it doesn't. Movie doesn't mean like a ton to me, but I recognize the fact that for a kid's movie, that's it's a very well made movie. Like it's a very well put together coming of age young kids like sports movie. It's just not one of my favorites. Where I do think it's better all around than this movie, for example.
It evokes a feeling. Sandlot evokes a feeling when you watch something as an adult, and I think it was what I liked about Heavyweights. When I said like 1995, I felt like was the best year ever. And a lot of this has been, I've just been on a steady drip of nostalgia the last couple of weeks with like the Michael Jordan documentary and watching some of these older movies and watching some of the stuff on Disney Plus. But you know, as I rewatch this as an adult, you're kind of like, oh, this does remind me of like the simplicity of youth, cartoonish last day of school where everybody throws paper everywhere and the bell rings. And by the way, these characters looked way too young to be in high school, but that's another point.
They were walking past the two people making out behind the movie. I'm like, you're in a different, you're 10 years younger than those two people. Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing I didn't remember, because I would have sworn these kids were like elementary to middle schoolers when I watched the movie originally, even though they're older than me. But you know, I was 11, 12 at the time. But you felt like, I mean, I think it was a decent depiction of being a kid. I felt like, it, you know, going to camp is something a lot of people can relate to. I think there are a lot of feelings that, you know, while I wasn't at a fat camp, I'd been to camp before and I didn't have a maniacal camp counselor, but you know, you felt it. And that's what you get with the Sandlot. Even though Sandlot takes place in the different decade, you still remember being out there with your friends, pretending like you were actually playing in the MLB or the NBA or whatever. A good kids movie rewatching as an adult makes you feel things. And I think what the Sandlot does better is I think the Sandlot's more of a universal feeling rather than like Heavyweights, which I think can be like, you know, a lot of people might like it, but like at the same time, yeah, I mean, camp is like, a lot of people didn't get to go to camp, right? Like camp's right. Like kind of a privileged thing, I felt like.
I never went to camp.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people didn't get to go to camp. So you know, it is what it is. But I still think like when I go back as an adult and I rewatch kids' movies, the Sandlot's kind of, even though I think some of the fucking, the way people talk about the Sandlot now is like, I don't think it's one of the best sports movies. I mean, I don't think it's the best sports movie ever. I think it's one of the best sports movies. I think it's probably the greatest kids' sports movie or the greatest kids movie that I can think of. And I kind of hold it to, you know, say if that's the ceiling for me.
I think Sandlot, I think applies just to more people, just because like literally everybody can think of a time where they went and played with like a random group of friends and just played. It doesn't have to be baseball, but it can be anything else. And like that, whatever situation, whatever sport you're playing could apply to the Sandlot. That's totally fine.
And it's more of a story of friendship than anything.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Where Heavyweights was like, you know, the friendship was there, but it was mostly about being comfortable with yourself. And I think like that message is good and all, but 98% of all kids media has that message. That's, you know, JoJo Siwa. My daughter loves watching those videos. That's all of JoJo Siwa's message. So, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good to keep reinforcing that with kids. I think it's positive, but what I like about the Sandlot is like, you know, I think there's more complexities at play. Again, it's a kids movie, so fucking how deep you're gonna get, but whatever.
What do you guys think was the best line and or part from this movie? Because for me, I still think it was right in the beginning, the line where Kenan Thompson's just like the fat camp part where they're on the plane. He's like, "Why do you think I'm going to fat camp? Because you're fat. Why do you think that's my dad? Because he's fat too." That part I think was the best part of this entire movie, and it's still the part I remember from when I was younger, and it's still the part today that I laughed the hardest.
I like the German dude. I'm always like, I'm always like, when they tied him up to the tree, I'm always a big fan of like how big the Hans and Franz fit German Austrian stereotype was in the 90s because of Arnold.
Mm-hmm. By the way, jail for all of those kids for involved in any of this stuff. Like anybody involved in any of this, they were tying up guys to trees, putting them in electrified, like kidnapping fucking cages, all of them jail.
I want to hardcore stuff. Toss out a couple notes here before we get into some of our audience points and questions. I loved Paul Feig's generic 1995 Carolina Panthers jersey because that was their first season. that's what it was. Because I was like, wait, is that would that be Reggie White? I'm like, no, he didn't play for them yet. And I was like, oh, they came into the league in 95. That's a generic 1995 expansion Carolina Panthers jersey. Like TJ Maxx brand jersey. Too.
There's a Merino one I saw, and there's a Falcons one I saw. I didn't see what number though. Did you guys note it? I don't know.
Well, the Merino one. Oh wait, the Falcons Merino
was
one,
obviously Dolphins, but there was that, and then a Falcons. Merino. Yeah, it was a different Falcons one.
Yeah, the Merino one was in there getting on the bus at the start, right? And then yeah, so was the Falcons. That was the first time I noticed it. Yeah.
The camp from MVP.
It's a Jeff George jersey.
The camp from MVP. The MVP camp kids. Those are just the Tom Emanski baseball kids.
I mean, how fucking just, I mean, diabolical do you have to be to set that camp up against that other camp? And that's the camp's up. Literally MVP.
And also, who looked at the Emanski. Guy? The guy who's ahead of the MVP camp sucks. He's not even like an MVP. The guy's like, he looks like he should belong in the fat camp. Like, he doesn't look like an MVP to me.
I had my hitting coach when I was a kid. Let's see. He would have like coached camp MVP or ruled. He's like, the first day I met him, he's like, I don't like baseball. I'm like, what? Like, I love baseball. And I'm like, whoa.
That's
so cool.
When they were dropping the Pez out of the Pez dispenser, that was just a loose change sound effect.
the bullets coming out of the clip. That's what it was.
I was like, that's not what Pez sound like. All right.
It was so cool. But also, why the fuck would you hide Pez, the worst candy there is?
Let me note attention to detail in this movie, though, that I did not notice as a kid. I think that they added the small British kid so he could protect the cell during Parents' Day. And then when you go, oh, why aren't his parents there? Oh, because they're in England. I was like, you know what? Okay. That's why we got a British kid. The go-kart scene Yeah, either he has whiplash now from the way that go-kart landed, or the other kid died, one or the other. Just need to note that.
As a Purdue grad, I must say, like, I love a good go-kart race, because that's like the have you heard of the Purdue Grand Prix before?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the big, like, fall event. It's a big go-kart race that everybody parties for a week for and tries to pretend that, like, they're at IU for the little 500, which is, like, the really fun one, even though the Purdue one's fine. Like, I should on Purdue all the time. It's just coming from a place of love. It reminded me of that. Just a bunch of fat kids driving go-karts. I'm like, that's Purdue.
Also, no chance Pat got the nurse. Just not a chance. So I know it's a good sentimental thing. I'm out. I just don't think Pat would have landed her.
His hair, by the way, so bad. I don't know what it was. It reminded me of something. Dude, I couldn't place it, but
that was good in the That was good in the 90s, dude. That was 95. That hair played. That hair was like the Jonathan Taylor Thomas hair from Home Improvement. Actually, it's the Brad and Mark hair. I think they all had that friggin' haircut. I love all like the flannel and plaids, because people are starting to dress like that again. To where, like, I would have watched it 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh man, this looks really dated. But now I'm like, these kids are swagged out.
And then
Lee Mischer,
drip, drip, man. Drip,
and swagged.
And then when they got the ice bath with the full soda cans in it, that's four or five concussions on the spot. Mm. They just dumped threw soda cans at their head in celebration.
I want to know why
there's a ton of injuries at the end of this movie. It takes no points off the movie, but I was like, oh my God.
I want to know how they filmed the one scene where Ben Stiller was on the nails. Because every time I watch that scene, I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? And I know it's something really simple, like there's a board underneath him, but I'm always like, fuck, I want to know.
How about where he ages himself up digitally?
Yes.
Non-digitally. Dual character in here. Plays his dad.
True. And they didn't. He had his dad in the movie. They just didn't have his dad play his dad. That's
just, you know, that's funny for me. Like, just thinking back to Zoolander, where his dad has played characters before, but they're not actually related because they've never looked alike to me. Like, maybe if Jerry didn't have the mustache, I'd be able to be like, oh, this is Ben Stiller's dad. But the red mustache has always thrown me off.
That's fair.
But also that was his mom too. It was it was Ann Mira.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Rest in peace, Jerry Stiller.
Legendary comedy power couple.
Let's get some comments here. Do you think this is a top five Ben Stiller role?
Mm. Walter Mitty's number one, obviously, and then you go down from there.
So I say Tropic Thunder better.
Zoolander better.
I think you could argue I like the Cable Guy. I would put the Cable Guy better, but I know a lot of people hate the Cable Guy.
I think Zoolander definitely better. I think even like Night at the Museum, Meet the Parents both better.
Meet the Parents is probably one of my favorites.
I think Something About Mary.
Yep.
Better.
Tug Speedman.
Along Came Polly. I love Along Came Polly. I would put that above that.
Yeah, I put White Goodman and Tug Speedman probably top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is a good character, but I think this was like a proto character. This just was a taste of something to come, because I think Ben Stiller always does that really well. The overconfident jackass.
Yeah.
Yes. Does it very well. Would you rather believe? I'm sorry.
My favorite version of that is in Happy Gilmore when he's the evil nursing home guy.
Yes.
That is an all-timer too.
He's such a fucking asshole.
Mm-hmm. Rotson 1230 says, "I choose to believe that the Mighty Ducks fall within the same Disney 90s movie universe." Would you put this with if you had to pick one universe, is this where Tony Perkins becomes White Goodman, or do you think this falls in the Mighty Duck universe? Well, Goldberg from Mighty Duck, his character, what a douchebag. Josh, they're like, this kid's a legend. Asshole. I was here like, this kid's a douche.
It can't happen in the Mighty Ducks universe, though, right? Because of Kenan Thompson as well?
Well, it'd be the both of them, right?
Yeah, but do they have the same character names?
No, but I mean, neither did White Goodman and Tony Perkins.
Yeah,
but I think it's Dodgeball. Their characters are way more similar.
Yeah, but I could see Tony Perkins changing his identity.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I agree with that.
But I couldn't see a 13-year-old kid changing their identity to play on a roller hockey team and eventually getting discovered by Gordon Bombay.
They were on the run after the kidnapping charge that was thrown against them.
Has there been anything been more evil than like teaching kids that the knuckle puck is maybe an effective strategy at hitting a hockey puck?
Evil. Evil, evil way to go about coaching.
I was trying to do every time I was a kid, I would like go, you know, go over, be playing floor hockey or whatever. I just always try to hit a knuckle puck. That was all my only move. Saw it in a movie that one time.
That's one of my favorite American Dad bits, is where Stan is so like grateful to Emilio Estevez for like just fading out of existence when no one wanted him anymore. It's like, yeah, what a great guy.
I think you just said that the way nobody's ever said his name before.
No, that's the way they say it in American Dad.
Estevez.
JDTCU said, I like this. He said, nice insult, camp MVP, when they drive by and they yell, "You stink." I agree. For how cool those kids are supposed to be, you stink.
The coach drove them in the boat for there just for that, to yell, "You
every
stink."
Every day, they gas that boat up and they go over and they yell, "You stink," three times.
Oh boy. Where did this movie take place, by the way? Like, what state were we
Pennsylvania,
in?
Right?
That's right.
Because they said Perkins says my dad's like the whatever king of northeastern Pennsylvania lighting fixtures, which is what never made sense to me, because the kid is from Long Island, but he flies there to northeastern Pennsylvania, which would be all the two-hour money.
The
thing is like, you could tell me it's a flight because I have no idea of East Coast geography. everything is either a 15-minute drive or a flight.
That's a Nassau County kid, and that was at most like a 3-4 hour drive. That should not have been a flight.
And Harrison 32 says, how did Camp MVP dominate the Apache Relay every year? I get the first leg with the physical part, but they were absolute morons on the Hall of Knowledge.
The dumbest people in the world.
I mean,
the guy said Cher was a vice president.
Maybe they didn't have rules. The British kid was pretty good. And they did upgrade. They souped up the go-kart.
I love it, dude. We did stereotypes real well back in the 90s.
British people were smart. Like, obviously.
The athletes are dumb. British people are smart. The fat kids are smart. There you go.
No offense to Pat, but Bryce Bush says, Well, he says, was I the only one who thought that Chris Farley would have been the perfect Pat? I mean, this movie would have not another level if Chris Farley's the protagonist.
10 times better.
I mean, if it had Chris Farley in it, it would have been electric. Anything. I think the only thing I've seen that I didn't love Chris Farley in was the one that movie did with Matt Perry. The Northern, like, what was it? The where they explode, like,
the whole 10 yards.
Oh, no.
I know.
I know what you're talking about.
It was the one where they were explorers or whatever.
Fuck. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we don't have to bring up the movie. It wasn't great. But
I was watching an old SNL recently, Christina Applegate, and I was like, oh, I'll sit down and watch this one. And then they showed just the pan out of the living room for the Chris Farley, Matt Foley motivational mm-hmm. speaker thing. And I kind of like, I was like, oh, I've never watched in the context of the whole episode. And I was like, I just kind of like, I got like weird, like chills, like, whoa, I've never seen this like in the context of them hosting and doing a full episode. It some crazy skits that episode too. They had Focus on Beauty 2, the Cher thing again. I was like, damn, Chris Farley talking about that stuff, which with Christina Applegate Cher is timeless.
Trill's Almost Heroes, and it was directed by Christopher Guest.
That's right. It didn't get great reviews. And then also, like, maybe Beverly Hills Ninja, but I remember liking
that. I like Beverly Hills Ninja.
I was an idiot, man. Chris Farley was a fantastic guy.
Yep.
Just major rip.
Unbelievably hilarious. Composite score of this movie, folks. Heavyweights. Comes out to a 70. No, where is it? I just fucking put it somewhere. Where is this movie?
Don't make the buttered joke.
It's definitely buttered.
Don't do it. Don't do it with this movie. Don't go there. We're better than that.
I don't know where this movie goes.
So what was it again? I gave it a 65.
Extra buttered.
It comes in at a 67. Not a buttered. 67, and that puts this movie right in between Small Soldiers and War of the Worlds. Jeez, what did we shit on that movie? I mean, this movie's propped up by a very high audience score.
That's true.
Let me note that. But that's part of it. It's four people voting.
What are kids' movies like these days? Like maybe tween, like, because this is like a tween movie, right?
I'd say it's a tween movie.
I mean, like a maybe pre-tween or something like that. I mean, it's like the Descendants 3. Is that what the kids are watching these days?
No, it's not really a special affection shit in this. I feel like you got to put it in a different category. It's not like a
no. I know movie like that. But I didn't know if they're like making like heartfelt, you know.
That's true.
Well, like kid comedy type things. I'm sure they are. I just don't. I mean, look, I think it's probably a good thing that I don't know where to find them. Right.
Yeah. We had an interview today, so we'll skip out on box office game till Sunday. Sunday we're gonna do Django Unchained. By the way.
Hell yeah,
Django Unchained.
We're gonna go deep. We're gonna deep dive. Do some research.
Let's do funniest movies. The movies you thought were the funniest movies as a kid. I haven't figured out a fucking title for this yet. Let me read what I put on Twitter. What did I say here? I said
movies you thought were funny, but maybe aren't that funny in retrospect.
Well, I don't know, because there's a couple of these that I think are still funny. Only two of mine I would say I don't find as funny anymore.
That's why I say maybe.
Okay, maybe. Okay, fair.
I think that's the discussion I want to have with you guys is, are these still funny? Because I think a lot of mine aren't, but I think one might be.
The funniest movies when you were a kid, let's call it that. Funniest movies when you were a kid. Trill, then myself, then Ken Jack, then the audience. Audience list is going to be wild because it ranges a lot. Trill, number five.
Number five is Good Burger, and I don't think that's funny anymore.
No, I would do a hard agree. I recently watched it. I could not do it.
I think it's funny to a kid. It's got like the random funniness and the what would you call Keenan and Kel's performance? Like, they're very good at entertaining kids with short attention spans. If I'm thinking of like the movie that I think is the funniest to me as a kid and yet I still enjoy as an adult, I'm thinking of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
But I didn't put it on this list because that's an actual like good funny movie. But I couldn't watch Good Burger again the same way I could watch Mrs. Doubtfire and derive the same level of entertainment. Whereas as a kid, I was like, I love this shit. Give me more. Give me Good Burger too.
Right, right. Okay. I like that. My number five, Mr. Deeds. Mr. Deeds is talking that straddles the line of me saying I was a kid. Mr. Deeds came out in 2002, so I was 11. My cutoff here is 10 and 11 years old. It came out in June, so I was 11. Any older than 11? That, I would say no.
You were 11 in 2002. I was drinking vodka from underneath the sink at a high school party. You're just sitting. I was being a boss, fucking Chad, chatting it up, and you're sitting there watching Mr. Deeds, just drinking that pop off from underneath the sink. And college is going to be great.
True to Major Tom,
just ripping swigs of Burnett's.
Hey, I remember when we were at AP History together. Anyway, Walt Whitman fucking rules.
I thought John Turturro was fucking hilarious to me. The very, very sneaky shit, the greeting card stuff. I still think the fake sick in the beginning of the movie. Who plays that guy?
Peter Dante?
Yeah. DZ, I can't come into work today. I still reference that joke. He was just in the
Heavyweights.
Yeah, right. I still reference DZ, can't come into work today. I still think that's hilarious. I still think that's funny. This movie, not quite as good anymore. It's not as funny as I used to think it was, unfortunately. But at the time, the thing that does definitely hold up is when he's reading the poem at his grandfather's funeral. And Al Sharpton just goes like, nice rhyme.
Yep.
There's also a weird scene where John McIntyre
jumps over the car.
He has like superpowers.
Yeah.
And he like superhero jumps over a fucking taxi.
I still think it's pretty funny. I mean, not nearly as funny as I thought it was when I was a kid, but I still think it's kind of funny.
Oh, new Tenet trailer tomorrow just announced.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Looks like they're going to drop so they'll tell us when it's coming out, I guess. Ken Jack, number five.
My number five is Corky Romano. I thought this was the funniest fucking movie I ever saw when I was a kid. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
Corky Romano is a tough rewatch.
Corky Romano, I remember watching as a kid thinking it was so fucking funny, and then rewatching it as like, I don't even know, not even that old, like probably like 19, 20 years old, and being like, oh my God, this isn't funny. Oh my God, this isn't funny. It was so depressing.
It's not good stuff. It's not.
Chief, it's not it. It was depressing.
Well, it's like the concept's funny as a kid because it's, you know, it's at like a base level. Like that shit's funny. That shit flies, right?
Yeah.
Chris Kattan is like a funny looking guy.
He was so like in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was basically a god to me. I'm like, this guy can do no wrong.
I'm going to make it very clear. I think Chris Kattan, very funny. I think he has some very funny skits on SNL. I like when he was, it may be problematic now, but I like Mango. I liked when he was the little chimpanzee who ate the apple. That shit, that is so stupid, but it's funny.
Was Peter Berg in Corky Romano? Was he the other brother? Was he in that as well? Fuck. That guy was in everything.
The audience number five is a tough one. And I'll admit, when I first saw it, I did laugh. I did laugh. Master of Disguise.
Nope.
I saw that too late for me to ever think it was good.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, it was being made during 9/11. So immediately I just stayed away from it. I knew that when it came out, by the way.
I had a couple chuckles with it. I was an 11-year-old. It wasn't that amazing, but I did laugh. I hate to say it.
I feel bad for Dana Carvey. Like I feel like he deserved better, and I don't know how much of that was him, but like, I don't know, because I always will view him and Mike Myers as like having a schism or a falling out, and Mike Myers getting the better of it, him kind of just getting the scraps. But oh well,
he got an unfair shake because I think he is an extremely, extremely funny comedian, and just kind of got.
Well, he's an incredible impressionist, but the issue is like impressions can only like take you so far. As you find out, Master of Disguise. Mm-hmm. Do my impression of a turtle.
Is this not turtly enough for the Turtle Club?
Oh.
Trill, number four.
Oh, okay. You guys ready for this number four? Because it's Rookie of the Year.
Fucking bad movie, man.
Funky Butt Lovin'. That was funny. That was funny. And Daniel Stern, his character in this one.
Daniel Stern, yes.
Not David Stern. David Stern is a commissioner of the NBA. Close. It's not a great movie. I think people have fond memories of it because I think it's a good movie to watch when you're a kid, because who doesn't have that fantasy of pitching in the MLB when they're 12, even though in reality you couldn't throw to home plate, and if you could, you would get drilled with a line drive and die.
Immediately
but,
die.
But the kid breaks his arm, and then, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
Rookie of the Year, I've made the rant before. I despise this movie. A stupid movie.
I wouldn't say I despise it, but I don't like the rose. Look, I'll sit here and I'll tell you Space Jam is not that good of a movie, but I'm not going to tell you why you shouldn't be liking Space Jam, because I get it. But Rookie of the Year is one of those where people talk about it. It's like, oh, that was great, and loved it. And I'm like, have you gone back and watched it? In the same way you've gone watching Space Jam, people would be like, no. And if they said, yeah, and I still liked it, I'd be like, don't listen to the podcast anymore. We don't need that here. We don't need that energy. Rookie of the Year liking.
So again, my list, I there are movies on here that I think are still funny. Yeah. My number four was Austin Powers, A Spy Who Shagged Me. I thought Fat Bastard was the funniest fucking thing in the world. And like, I will say, actually, I don't find Fat Bastard as funny now. Like, that's the laughs, funny. We talked about this movie. The laughs don't quite hold up for me as much in this movie, but this is still a very funny movie.
Well, but because part of it was the shock of seeing Mike Myers play another character.
Right.
Because it was like, oh, he's playing two characters? Oh, no, wait a minute. He's playing three. And the next one, he's playing four. But you divorce that 20 years later, it's just, it's not that, you know, the novelty's not there. Right. I'm dead sexy. Oh, I'm the fat character. Look at me. I'm going to squirt with my pouch.
Oh, Jesus.
You remember that quote? I'm just going to make a mess right here on the tarp I laid out. Yeah, baby.
No, I don't remember that one.
I'm just going to juice all over this tarp.
Amazing, by the way. Did I already talk on pod, or did I talk off pod about how many people sent us Scary Movie 3 unrated edition?
I got them my DMs and I listened 200 times. I think you only talked off pod.
I had to go into the office. I had to go in the office, and we were sent that movie probably. I went home with like two dozen copies of that movie.
We should all really nice. It. Like, thank you for people for doing that.
It's amazing. I have to upload the scene.
You need to upload the scene because I think it's legitimately funny.
It's very funny. It's very funny.
It's funny. It's funny in a really – it's one of the most preposterous things I've ever seen in a movie.
Oh, dude. Can you clip that with like a scene from Justice League and then like post it and say like preview from the Snyder Cut?
We haven't done a slap in a while. I might have to do a slap for the –
Dude, that scene into slap, I was about to say, yeah.
I have to do a Justice League slap, don't I?
It's just like I have like Superman walking out of rubble, cutting to the Jared actor vomiting out his sandwich in a perfect line.
Full Lodge sandwich. Oh, God.
Ken Jack, what's your number four?
My number four is Ace Ventura. Ace Ventura I still think is very funny, but not nearly as funny as I thought it was as a kid. Like, I thought it was like one of like the benchmark for all comedy when I was little, and then like rewatching, I'm like, this is pretty funny. It's pretty funny. This is not nearly as funny, especially certain parts of the movie.
The end of it would just not. Yes. Yeah, that's not.
The end of it would not fly one bit today. But still, parts of it are very, very funny. But it's not nearly as funny as I thought it was when I was little. Right.
Ace Ventura. Audience number four is Dodgeball. That holds up.
Dodgeball holds up tremendously. What do you?
Yeah. Well,
about?
You guys were watching this as a kid. I was doing Chad shit. Fucking standing.
Dodgeball, I would not put on here because I would say I was no longer a kid.
What year did it come out? Corner at the teak house, smelling my long fingernails.
Dodgeball was 2004, I believe. 2003.
2004. I was 11.
Dodgeball was 2004. I'm 13 at that point. I'm a teenager, so I'm not kidding. Trill, number three.
Number three for me. This movie's funny. It's Dumb and Dumber. That, you know, I didn't get, you know, like a lot of the parts of Dumb and Dumber. Not that you necessarily need to get them, but the things I find funny now aren't the things I find funny then. For example, the diarrhea scene. Still kind of funny, but as a kid, a diarrhea scene was awesome.
He peed in a thing.
Yeah. Just he was sounded like he was peeing when he was shitting, and that's funny.
That's just good shit right there.
Yeah.
Instead of peeing, he was shitting.
Yeah, but the shit sounded like pee, and that's funny. Mm-hmm. Diarrhea, like liquid diarrhea scene. That's funny. Still kind of funny, but it's not as funny as like some of the other scenes. Like that you have to have like a higher intellect, like when you're an adult to really get, like when they wear the different colored suits.
Mr. Pilot, Osama bin Laden shit his pants.
But I do like Dumb and Dumber. They really kind of fucked it up with the sequels. But yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to make a sequel to that?
My number three is The Great Muppet Caper, which I still find funny. Maybe not as funny, but I like The Great Muppet Caper. I liked all the Muppet movies. Yeah. Muppet movie. Muppet Treasure Island may not have translated humor-wise.
That's the one I ever saw.
Is that the one with Gina Davis? Am I thinking of Treasure? Am I thinking of another
pirate yes, movie? Yes, she is in Muppet Treasure Island. Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was thinking of another pirate movie, too.
Muppet Treasure Island didn't quite work, but I loved Muppet Take Manhattan, the Muppet movie, and The Great Muppet Caper. And the Muppet Christmas Carol is still, it might be the best Christmas Carol. But that holds up for me. Ken Jack, number three.
My number three is another Jim Carrey movie. It's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I think that this movie, again, I still believe that it holds up a little bit, but I think for me personally, it's biased because of the nostalgia factor and all that. But it is, even on rewatch, not as funny as I remember being as a kid, because I thought it was the shit. I thought it was like the best Christmas movie ever.
Mm-hmm. when he hiked the turkey, like a football?
It was awesome. It was so cool.
You know why? You know what my biggest reason to go see that movie was?
Why? What? Huh?
And I may be wrong on this. Christmas 2000. I may be wrong on this. If I made this up, you're able to call me out. Attack of the Clones trailer, first teaser.
Was it really?
Wow. Yeah. They didn't show much. It was a very, very like
in
couple shot teaser.
In 2000?
Hang on.
It was 2002, right?
I let the internet call me out, not you.
Okay.
I may be wrong.
I'm just saying that would have been early in that production.
I know.
I saw Attack of the Clones Attack of the Clones with a girl, dude. More Chad shit. Oh, just shit. Just stunting on you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know what, dude?
11 years. 11. Okay. Mom, can I have some Kool-Aid coolers with the little cup? And then I'm just like,
you want to know what, bitch?
Want to go to see the movie together?
I saw
Attack of the Clones 2 with or Attack of the Clones with a girl as well.
Your mom.
It was my mom.
Yeah. Damn, dude.
Owned.
Attack of the Clones, you got those little in the Dorito boxes, you got pad boxes, the Dorito bags, you would get those little those puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You could win shit. It came out Monsters Inc. in 2001. I Mandela affected that.
Hey,
ignore everything I just said.
Hey, what's up? You want to go catch Attack of the Clones later? Hell yeah.
Hey, Anakin and Padme, that's just like us. I hate sand. I swear to God, dude.
No one will ever forget those hot Star Wars nights in central Indiana. Oh.
Audience number three is Meet the Parents.
What?
No, but this is not a list of. Remember these.
True, yeah.
Not negative. You can put something positive because, like, you may still think a movie from a childhood's funny. Yeah, yeah. Meet the Parents, number three. Ken Jack. Trill. I was wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it
was quick.
You know, mine's Kindergarten Cop. I think Kindergarten Cop. I probably watched that movie more times than any other movie in my life.
Well,
a
really?
Few movies that, yeah, I asked my dad to buy it for me because I love Kindergarten Cop so much. I was a Kindergarten Cop guy, and I it's not a great movie, but like I love the story of Detective Kimball, you know, endearing himself to that classroom full of asshole children, and getting them to assimilate into his hard ass ways, and the villain. It's one of the best looking 90s villains of all time. Mm-hmm. Just a villainous ponytail. and it had funny parts I thought were hilarious, like the girls have a vagina part or whatever. You know, that they, you know, it was funny at the time when I was like six. So I don't know how funny it is now, but I still like Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, I think Kindergarten Cop holds up.
I think it might. I like the font they used for it.
Yeah.
You remember it was like Kindergarten Serious and then Cop was with the crayon or the head. Yes. I don't remember. Like all yes. time. Like imagine the guy at the studio, the graphic artist, they'd just be like, look, I got an idea for this movie poster. Jesus Jenkins, you're a fucking genius.
Give us a raise.
We're putting you on the Little Giants account. I'm thinking something similar.
I'll skip through my number two because it holds up, Home Alone 2. I broke that VHS. I watched it so many fucking times. The rewind on that just destroyed that tape. Still, and I my opinion has not changed one bit on that movie. Ken Jack, number two.
My number two is Superstar. And okay.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah. It is horrifically bad. But I remember watching it with my mom and my brothers and being like, this is really funny. She's a grown woman, but she talks like a little kid. Isn't that funny? And it is not funny. It is not funny to watch as an adult. It's very, very bad. And I regret liking it so much as a kid because it is that level of bad.
Superstar is very bad.
Horrifically bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad movie. Yeah.
I like Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer and Sherry O'Terry and
Will Ferrell
and Rachel Dratch and like all those, you know, all the women of the mid 90s SNL. But that Mary Catherine, whatever character, is one of the weakest characters, in my opinion. That whole bunch.
I agree. Audience number two is The Water Boy.
That's fair. Okay. No, yeah. I still think Water Boy is funny. Sure.
Oh yeah, it's very funny.
Four of the five audience ones hold up. Five Masters Guys is not. Trill number one.
No, I completely get it. I left the Adam Sandler movies off of this because I thought it'd be too uninteresting if I just listed all of them. Number one's Major Payne with Damon Wayans.
Oh yeah.
You guys ever see Major Payne?
Yep. Oh yeah.
I'm not sure it's good.
Didn't expect it to be your number one, but yes.
Yeah. No. Oh, I love Major Payne, and I probably watched it. Not as much as Kindergarten Cop, but I watched it a lot. Another movie I wanted to buy because, of one, it was my first exposure to the robot dance, which mesmerized me. When he was, I think he was in his dress whites at the club, and he just cranked that robot. Like, that dance scene's great. But I also liked what an asshole Major Payne was because he was a huge dick to those kids. But you know what? He got those kids straightened up, didn't he?
I'm trying to think of what
they almost quit on him, and they realized.
Michael Ironside, I remember being in it as like his higher up, and then I think Orlando Brown was in it at some point. But I remember loving that movie as well.
Major Payne was very horny as well.
Yes, he was.
I still remember. The opening scene is really funny, where it's like he's like being assigned a new mission by his commander, and he's like, "Do you need me to go kill more men?" And he's like, "No, you've killed everyone."
Mm-hmm.
Damon Wayans does it better, but that's just a little sample.
We can do an impression of him. That'd be bad.
Yeah.
But it's a very funny voice.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if I can do a Major Payne impression for.
No.
Iconic poster.
Oh, yeah.
Him VHS just, box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be straight up like maybe nothing more 90s than a sun faded Major Payne VHS box.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Just at the front wall of Blockbuster getting beaten down by that sun day after day.
Going through the glass, yeah.
Excuse me, do you guys have Major Payne in stock? yeah, that movie came out 6 years ago.
Major Payne number one. My number one, Spaceballs.
It's in the Damon Wayans section.
Oh, I love Spaceballs.
Spaceballs holds up, but for me as a kid, it may not be as funny. But as a kid, obsessed with Star Wars, like it was another Star Wars movie, just like a funny version. So for me, that was the shit. I fucking love that. Love that movie.
It's a great pick.
Ken Jack, number one.
My number one is Kung Pao. This movie never gets made today. There's absolutely no chance this movie gets made today. But I thought this was the funniest shit I ever saw in my entire life. my nipples look like milk duds, the talking with the mouth not matching up, all the everything, even the fucking Matrix cow, like so much shit in this movie. Me and I remember my little brothers watching and thinking it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen in our entire lives. And rewatching, I'm like, this is bad. This is not really that funny at all. But and again, would never ever get made today. But still, conceptually, I think it's a good idea that could be redone maybe some point in the future. I don't know, but it's not very good.
Audience number one. I lied. It's not 4 out of 5. It was 3 out of 5 because I forgot that this is not Home Alone 2. It's Home Alone 3.
What? I mean, I guess I don't know. That's just such a specific Home Alone. But if it's in the vein of like movies you liked as a kid, but you go back and rewatch it as an adult, there's no better one to fit the mold of any of the Home Alones in Home Alone 3, except for maybe
Home
Alone
4. Funny. It's not a particularly funny Home Alone.
Yeah, but like, I mean, weird shit's funny when you're a kid, you know?
I can't think of a single line from that movie watching as a kid because that came in right in my the sweet spot for me. Yeah, as a kid.
The poop pipe. I watched it. Maybe he shot the poop pipe and then he got poop all over him.
There's just not enough from that movie where I'm like, damn, that was really funny. Like the funniest movie out of all these people?
I played that clip. We recorded the Home Alone 3 commentary and then I went out in downtown Austin. And I had that clip in my phone, and it might have been the alcohol, but Trill, you saying he shot the doo-doo pipe, I played it loud at a bar on Rainy Street for like 5 people. I'm like, listen to this. And because I had it already synced up with the clip, and everyone laughed. It was funny, but I was definitely like,
doo-doo pipe.
Deep. But you saying he shot the doo-doo pipe was very funny to me.
That movie sucked, but look, but I think that's a good movie for this particular exercise.
Yeah,
stuff you like. You got to check with other people. Like I know Dumb and Dumber's funny, but I got to check with people to see if Major Payne's funny. I think it is, but I don't know.
Let's go through our lists and say if it holds up or not, just individually, because that's how I'm going to mark the list if you thought it held up or not. For me, Spaceballs, Home Alone 2, Great Muppet Keeper, Austin Powers 2, all hold up. Mr. Deeds, I'm going to say no. Trill, Major Payne.
Holds up.
Kindergarten Cop.
Holds up.
Dumb and Dumber.
Holds up.
Rookie of the Year.
No.
Good Burger. No.
No.
Ken Jack, Kung Pao.
No.
Superstar. I know that's a no.
Hard no.
The Grinch.
It's half and half. Half and half.
Okay, respect. Ace Ventura.
We'll like a good half and half.
No.
Corky Romano.
I get hard no.
Home Alone 3 for the audience. I'll say no. Waterboy will say yes, right?
Yeah.
Meet the Parents, yes. Dodgeball, yes. Master of Disguise, hard no. All right. That was fun. Thanks to Rob Riggle for coming on the pod again. We're talking to, I don't know who we have on Sunday. I don't know who our interview is Sunday. I think we got Clark Gregg, I said. We got a pretty big time name in comedy we're interviewing next week. Very excited to drop that interview. And then we do have a white whale guest we are interviewing soon. I need to note that. We
Barack
have
Obama.
Trill, we told Trill who it was. Trill, you were fairly surprised by it, I think.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I'm excited. I'm thinking I might, you know, join if that's okay.
You should.
We I'll put it this way. We have a few weeks to figure out how to properly talk about a thing that we talk about in the show with this person.
I think
if the interview goes well, it will be a legendary interview.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know that thing you do?
Yes.
What if that thing was...
I may have to believe you saying that because I don't want to give it away. I think that gives it away. I think that gives it away. It
probably does.
And I actually think, he is a very funny person. I think he will, and we like this person, I think he will play with it. I think he'll think it's funny. All right. Django Unchained this Sunday for Ken, Jack, and Trill. I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office.